For the thousands in attendance and the millions watching around the world.
This is the main event.
Dildo Corn is alive
and kicking.
Come on over here, I'll headbutt your ass a couple times if you know what I'm saying.
This brother breaking off a 40-yard run. This brother,
come on, zip it.
I hope I didn't piss off Jesus.
You call that a penalty?
Who's number one?
It's the LA Clippers.
Boom! Shut up! You're saying it wrong, people.
I would get her pregnant.
That
just called in and hangs up, you motherfucker. That fucking pissed me off.
Ari, are you in the shower now?
Totally in the shower.
Yeah, dude.
He's not a cokehead.
You mean James?
Stupid idiot.
You're a stupid idiot for getting so fucking uptight over fucking nothing.
You're clearly lying.
You're clearly just
lying. Why would I lie?
For attention.
Why would I lie?
What?
I don't need attention.
Yes, you do.
No, I don't. You're a comic. Guys, welcome to Punch Drunk Sports, the most professional sports podcast out there. Guys, we were supposed to have everybody in studio, but of course, the Jew couldn't make it. So we went bigger, bolder, faster. It's a new dawn in America. And if you don't go big, if you don't go huge, you go home. So we got a packed studio. We got guests coming. But joining us is back from his triumphant CD recording. And the Cubs winning the World Series. We'll get into that.
Oh, yeah.
My main man, Jason Tebow, everybody.
I'm back. Cubs win. I'm happy. We'll have stories for days about that. Brody's coming in. He was in a parade.
Did you go to the Cubs game?
And before I introduce him, please welcome to the show. You've seen him get killed on every TV show possible. You know him is to watch him get killed on Westworld. My good friend, Tate Fletcher, everybody. Talk amongst yourselves.
Hi, Sam.
I have a lot I want to talk to you about. And yes, I wasn't at...
I feel like I'm in the principal's office.
I wasn't in Cleveland for game 7. You will feel like that the whole show. But I was in Chicago for Game 7 for the most important 12 hours.
Of your life?
Of my sports fan life.
I respect
Absolutely.
That.
Awesome.
I respect that.
Everything other than like Falcons winning the Super Bowl. And I always would have, because I got asked that a billion times, would you rather have Cubs win the World Series or Falcons win the Super Bowl? I always said Cubs because, I mean, I've seen the Falcons lose a Super Bowl. I've seen them almost go to 2 Super Bowls. And with baseball just being 16 games, you just got to get hot for 7 of them. You know what I mean?
Yep.
I thought there's no chance in hell the Cubs would ever win a World
Series.
Can
we get into that real quick? Let's pay the bills. Guys, we're proud to announce we've re-upped with SeatGeek. SeatGeek. Go to SeatGeek. Download that. What do they do, Tebow?
You go to any app store that you have. That's the best way to get it. I mean, you get it online, SeatGeek.com. But if you're walking around with your laptop, you probably have bigger problems than finding concert tickets. So go to the App Store and download their app, which is very user-friendly. If there's any concerts you ever want to go to, any sporting events, I know people that bought tickets. We are going to a Clipper game with tickets bought off SeatGeek next week. And I'm very excited to do that. It's very easy, user-friendly. Go to SeatGeek, download the app. Then you go into the settings, and you can enter the promo code PUNCHDRUNK. And that gets you $20 off.
$20 off? Sorry about that.
It gets you $20 off of your first purchase. So if you can find tickets for something that's $20, hey, that's free.
Can I go to plays with it? Can I get a play? Can I go to a play?
You could probably go to a play. Anything that requires tickets.
Women's beach volleyball?
You always do this. You're always like, let's get it into a thing where we can find what our sponsor cannot do. But, yeah, if women's beach volleyball, if there's a thing where you're buying tickets for it, can you go to a dogfighting event? Probably not. Probably not. Can you go watch a prostitute shoot ping pong balls out of her butt? Probably not. Those are black market tickets.
I'm talking to them about that, though, by the way, to get the ping pong balls out of the butt.
There's a guy that can get it done.
Thank you.
Yeah.
Guys, I don't know about you, but I lost a little money on this UFC fights going on. But you know what? I had fun betting on
BetDSI.
BetDSI.com. BetDSI for all your bet needs. Go to BetDSI. Use Punch Drunk promo code. Get $10 betting cash. And it takes 2 hours to get that money. But you can bet. I went a parlay and did not go well.
Who screwed you?
Well, to be honest with you, Misha Tate, every time she got punched in the face, my dick would cry a little bit.
Really?
Yeah, it made me really sad.
I think she gave up. When she lost that belt, I think she was done.
Well, I mean,
she's
like,
I did what I want.
She's super hot. I mean, like, she was a great fighter.
Every punch in the face moved her further back on set. She was five. She's five kicks to the throat for being an extra, a non-speaking extra. You know what I mean?
That is gold. That's why you pay the big bucks. So go bet the SI, use Punch Drunk Sports and do that. Guys, you guys have been killing it on Amazon links. Please, it's getting to that season where you got to buy shit for your bitches. Go to Amazon links on punchdrunksports.com. Use the Amazon link. Buy it. You guys are doing it. Every month you guys do better and better. Thank you so much. Guys, do you like coffee? Of course. We all do. Go to Starbucks. No, go to Caveman Coffee. Caveman Coffee for all your coffee needs. They got coffee. They got teas. They've got crystal meth. You name it, they got pure, all-natural fucking teas, coffee, and crystal meth. Use Punch Drunk promo code and get 10% off.
15% off.
I feel it was a TV show, the Albuquerque Breaking Bad thing. We don't really have
crystal. The best meth I've ever smoked.
Right.
Caveman Coffee, go worldwide. Do you hate Pete's Coffee? Fuck Pete's Coffee. If you hate Pete's Coffee, love Caveman Coffee. Get some, yo. Guys, AD Suits, AD Suits, use promo code. There we go. I think we paid all the bills.
To be Caveman, bet the SI. And by the way.
What's AD Suits?
AD Suits. El de Pete Suits. If, let's say you need a really nice suit, man, they do top shelf suits for $50.
Wow.
It's pretty
crazy.
I heard that Conor McGregor was doing suits now.
Affordable. Red panties, too.
Like Target? Like he has like his style, but at Target?
I feel like he's got a line that's coming or something. I'd heard something like
that. Why wouldn't
he? That's awesome. Genius.
He's incredibly stylish.
Yeah.
Say what you want about him. The guy's got style, charisma.
Yeah.
I'm not saying I'm in, but I'm starting to get there.
I'm all in,
He's
dude.
Good for the sport, man, for sure.
Oh, I totally agree with that.
Why wouldn't you be in?
I'm not saying I don't like him and I don't respect him. For the same reason, when I was 12 years old, I was like, somebody beat up this Roddy Piper guy. He's mouthing off so much. I like that I root against him. I like that there is this bad guy that you're like, God, he did it again. What I'm saying where I'm all in, I'm almost to the point where I'm going to start rooting for this guy because you know, I rooted against him against Diaz. I rooted him against him for Aldo, and I rooted him against him on Saturday.
Right.
But I felt this kind of like at the end of that fight, it wasn't like Aldo or the second Diaz where I was like, God damn it, fuck, he did it again. I was kind of sitting there laughing. You know, I'm not saying I don't. I'm
all in on the Conor McGregor.
So you root for him when he fights now?
I mean, Diaz. I have the Diaz brothers.
I would never root against the Diaz brothers.
Yeah, I don't. But I've also had fights where I just want a great fight, and whoever wins wins. That's how I feel.
Sure.
I like that. You know, if you love the Diaz brothers, you can't hate Conor McGregor because he helped Diaz make so much money.
I'm not saying I hate him. I'm saying I like rooting against him. But now I'm kind of feeling like I might start rooting for him.
Yeah.
That's
kind of like what you're saying is like, I heard Bill Burr talk about it the other night on that podcast, and he was talking about watching Hillary and Trump go. And he's like, I'm kind of a cunt in the way that when she ekes ahead, I want him to win.
Yeah.
And when he ekes ahead, I want her to win.
That's
it's like,
so funny. I was sitting right there when he said that.
So funny, man.
That's a good way of looking at that.
People come up, that's like the podcast that was heard around the world.
Oh, it's great. I'm in it right now. I didn't want to get out of the car.
Yeah.
How many people listen to it? Is there a way to find
it? I don't know, man, but it is just everywhere. I'm going to burn down the Comedy Store if they only put up one picture of that thing and I'm not on it. I'm going to let you know right now that I will burn the Comedy Store down. That was one of the coolest things I've ever done in my life. I wasn't expecting to go on. I just was like, whoa, man, this is something amazing. And then Greg Shillelagh is a good friend of mine. He's, you know, he used to book me in Alaska all the time. And he's kind of Doug Stanhope's road manager. And I've been friends with Doug Stanhope for almost 20 years, man.
Wow.
He's the godfather of Vegas comedy. And that's where I started. Now, like, Vegas is punk rock comedy. Like, I always would say, I'm like, everybody who comes out of Vegas, with the exception of one dude, has always been like a fuck you, I'm going to say what I want to say kind of attitude.
Who's the one guy?
Joe Coy, and it's cool. Joe Coy's his own thing. He's his own style. And that's cool, man. We're way cool, but it's good.
He's the Asian guy?
Yeah, he's the Asian guy. Okay. He talks about his mom a lot.
Yeah, my friends in Houston like him a lot.
Yeah, but these guys, but everybody else is like giant F you. They talk mad shit, and it's punk rock comedy, dude. And Doug is the grandfather of that kind of style that we have out there. And so I went in the back to meet him, and dude, he's his girlfriend was in a coma at the time.
Right.
And I guess she got out, thank God. She's not okay. In it anymore.
Yeah, he talked about that at, like, kind of like as an aside. And I was like, this seems very important.
Yes. And like he was telling, dude, he told.
Crazy stories about
did
it.
Did you hear the Coke story yet?
Yeah.
That's the most insane, hilarious thing I've ever heard in my life.
And then they do all her coke
because they're worried about it. When he said that, everyone goes, okay, that's next level shit. Everybody.
You almost feel like it's a lie, like it's a like some weird bit that isn't real. And then you're like, no, from him, that's completely raw. It's really real. That's just exactly what happened.
Yeah. So I'm in the back, right? And Doug, I talk to him. He's like, hey. And like every time Doug is excited to see me, I it's like not real to me. It's like. You know, it's like if you're a basketball player and like Michael Jordan's like, hey, dude,
right.
How's it going? You're like, oh, shit, Michael Jordan's like that's who Stanhope is for me. And so I'm sitting in the back. They're like, Triple A, they're calling for you. I'm like, oh, my God. So I go out. And for the first hour, it's like I won a radio contest. Where I'm just like, sit down with Joe Rogan and Bill Burr on stage and just hang out and listen. And I'm like the whole time. So it was pretty cool, man.
Awesome, man.
It was a lot of fun. It was like. It's like, that will never happen again.
The crowd seemed electric.
It'll happen in 4 years.
No, I'll tell you why it won't happen again is because his upset is so nobody. I won't say nobody. A lot of people didn't see that coming. She didn't even write a speech.
It's going to get better. It's going to get better, man. We're going to have Dwayne Johnson and Kanye and Kim Kardashian all run in 2020. Like, he opened the door for everybody. She's like, I've got 40 million followers. She will win. Like, it's that's what's happening.
They're saying that Obama was our first Twitter president. Trump is our first TMZ president and will not be our last.
Amazing.
No.
And really, big ups to Ronald Reagan. First actor to really bust the door down.
If you're a politician,
do you blame black people for this? He got in the White House, and now everybody's in the White House.
If you're a politician in Washington D.C., you have to start freaking the fuck out. And join us, and the podcast just gets better. Joining us, unbelievable, a legend, the myth, the legend. Everybody's got great facial hair on this podcast.
The Prince of Periscope.
Please welcome the one, the only Brody Stevens.
You got it. Yes.
How are you, buddy?
I'm doing awesome.
Brody, why were you late?
I was at a podcast.
Wow. Ooh. You went from podcast to podcast?
Brody, are you trying to match your beard with your hat? Because if you are, you have succeeded, and kudos to you.
Yes. Why? Yes. Yeah. I've matched this hat with shoes before.
I like that. That's called an outfit, and I respect that because I do the same thing.
So I've got, style matters.
Men,
colors
men
matter.
Don't want to.
If clothes.
Men don't want to admit they wear they wear outfits, but we do. We wear outfits.
Oh, I admit it wholeheartedly. I get my balls busted for like caring about how I dress or look.
You
I always do.
But who does that? Guys at the Comedy Store?
Everybody. You have something to say about every time I come in. Oh, look whose fucking shirt matches his belt. I'm like, yeah. Look, it looks like somebody who sells drugs from a skateboard every day.
Belt should match with shoes.
Or socks.
But if you're not tucked in, it doesn't matter. I have a
black
belt.
What do you mean by tucked in? Your dick tucked in?
If you can't see your belt.
No, your shirt. Oh, okay. Like how often people don't really tuck in shirts anymore. No?
They really don't.
No.
No, I do now. I'm a guy who tucks in.
Oh, really?
I'm not. Well, I mean, it depends on the shirt.
You know why I never liked it is because if you have a button-down shirt and you tuck it in, and then that bitch is halfway wrinkled.
Yeah.
Like if you wear it out again ever. And I'm like, I don't have time to be ironing.
That's why
like
I keep an
flannel,
iron in my
pants.
You
don't tuck in a flannel, do you?
Never have.
Yeah. You don't
or a chamois shirt. Way back, chamois shirts.
Tuck in a dickie.
No way. Because you can't because they have the logo there. They don't want you to.
I forgot what I was going to say.
I want to bring back capes. You know, if you start wearing a cape around the Comedy Store and everyone busts your balls for a month and then 2 months later all these kids are wearing capes. I started that.
I wore a cape. You wore a Superman cape? Batman cape?
Yeah, or like a count, or like a, you know, like a
how... Oh, so you want the little, like, Doctor Strange, like,
headrest in the back.
That would be fresh.
That would be fresh.
Or cane, or top hat.
You do scarves.
I do scarves. I have a lot of scarves.
I feel like this is more like Boone. Would, maybe he's...
He could get away with that.
Coloring the way you dress.
He started a book that's very funny.
Really? Isn't it weird that if you walked up in a fedora and a cane, people are like, what's going on with Tebow? But if a black guy, and the other day at the Comedy Store, a black guy just walked up, straight cane.
Indiana Leslie Jones, that's what I call him.
And I'm like, nobody bats a hat. That totally makes sense.
He always has that big hat, too. That's why I call him Indiana Leslie Jones.
That's just rude.
Matched his car.
Matches his car. That's how deep black guys go with this. They match their outfit with their whip.
Yep.
That's some real shit.
For
right
sure.
There. Guys, what do we want to get? I think we should just get right into, even though it's been 2 weeks since the big win, you guys are both have great stories of the Cubs.
Now where
being a part of it.
You were in the stadium. You were in Wrigley Field.
I was in Wrigley Stadium for... I'm joking. Wrigley Field.
Yeah.
For game 4 and 5.
Uh-huh.
I was in there for game 4 and game 5.
And then game 7.
Game 6 in Cleveland. Mm-hmm. I drove out there, went to that.
Uh-huh.
Not knowing there'd be a game 7.
Of
you know,
course.
You don't know.
Yes.
You know, that's a 5 hour drive for one game.
Yes.
That's dedication.
Could they have won that game if you didn't make that drive?
It's possible,
mm-hmm.
but I was requested. You know,
okay. They request you, the Cubs?
Yeah, well...
It's weird they didn't fly you.
That is a good point. Why do you, they wanted you to think about the game?
I have been flown out by the Cubs.
Oh, you have?
Yes, yes. For the Cubs convention. I did that.
I respect
last
that.
Couple years.
What did you do at, well, now, what did you do at the Cubs convention?
I did comedy. I hosted.
Oh, okay.
I did...
Did you roast Madden?
I did jokes for Joe. Like, when I did that... 2 years ago, it was the Anthony Rizzo benefit,
uh-huh.
his laugh-off.
Right.
He saw me do the award show for Marucci Baseball Bats. You know Marucci? Mm-hmm. Like, everybody in baseball uses him. He's a Marucci guy. I was in Baton Rouge. So he saw me host down there. So he'd already seen me do comedy. And then he has this cancer benefit, and he said, Brody, you want to host it or do it? I said, yeah. In the first year, they had Tom Papa. He headlined, I hosted. It's kind of a hell gig, talking, all that stuff, but, you know, you did it. But I
did you see Tom Papa's new special? It looks so good.
Seen the billboard.
He did it basically in what looks like a set from a 1970s game show.
Oh, cool.
It's so nice. Go on.
Yeah, so I did the – I played to Joe Madden. You know, it was my first opportunity. He was there. I go, look, I have a chance to, you know, get in.
Yeah.
So
now,
doing,
at any point were you like, if my set goes good enough, I might get signed by the Cubs?
No.
Was okay. there any discussion of that? Maybe like AAA?
No.
Test out, see if the...
You ever
this is real.
Warm
is,
the guys up at all? Like throw
yes.
a couple balls for them? Just.
Well, yeah, I threw... This is real deal stuff.
Yeah.
See, people don't... Well,
know,
I don't think people understand.
We do.
People don't understand why I'm there.
Yeah.
The reason why is my friend who I grew up with, played Little League with, grew up with, spent time with, Mike Borzello, he's the catching coach.
Catching
he's
coach,
the strategy
right.
coach. So he kind of gives me the okay to hang out. He lets me, you know, through the years, I've hung out with the Yankees. I hung out with the Dodgers.
Yeah.
You know, I also played baseball in college. So I know.
And isn't it true that you went, instead of a professional career, to comedy? You chose comedy over professional Major League Baseball.
I didn't even know you played baseball. I mean, I knew you played
you
in Little League.
Well, I mean, I don't. I probably could have. I hurt my elbow, so I wasn't going to go on and play.
Well, I mean,
pro.
You once struck out like 15 people in the
18.
Game. 18?
No, 17. I'm
Did
sorry.
Did you have to get Tommy Lee surgery? That's where they tie an extra tendon onto your dick.
I got Jimmy John surgery.
Oh, Jimmy John. Okay.
Jimmy John surgery. They replaced it with
less
the roast
expensive
beef.
One.
Very much, yeah.
It was 6-inch roast beef for my
So, guys,
elbow.
Talk to me about this. Were you in Cubsville or Cubs Lane?
Well, that's what I want to see. We'll get to Game 7 where at Game 7, you were in Wrigley Field.
I was in Cleveland for Game 7.
Oh, you were
That's
at,
where they played it.
You
I was
were
at
the
game.
Oh, I thought, so then you came back for the parade. Okay.
I was in the, yeah, I was. I went to Cleveland for Game 6, they won, and then I stayed over for 7.
Do they put you up, or what's your move there?
I put myself up. But
oh, wow.
Where did you stay?
I stayed at the Hilton, and there's a story behind that.
Uh-huh.
We'd love to hear it.
In terms of knowing I was doing the right thing.
Mm-hmm.
So I rent this car. I'm in Chicago, And I had to cancel my final night at the hotel because I didn't plan on I just said I'll have to wing it and get another hotel. My flight was a couple days later. But to go to Cleveland, I had to cancel this night in this hotel.
Right.
So canceled the night. Well, I had to pay for it. Mm-hmm. Got the rental car. Driving. And I got the only hotels that were available in Cleveland are like by the airport. And the ones downtown next to the stadium were like 600, really expensive.
Had to be.
Were sold out.
Game 6 World Series, Game 7 World Series. They got to be sold out.
People are coming in. So I end up getting this hotel over by the airport. So I'm driving. I'm going to go to the airport and then drive to the stadium. On the way, halfway, I'm in the middle of Indiana. I get a call from Priceline. They say the hotel by your airport, they're doing construction, and they can't book you. Even though I booked it already. They go,
what?
We're going to have to move you to another hotel. That's what he told me. And I go,
is it going to cost you more?
No, he said, we'll cover it, but we'll move you to a comparable hotel. And he says, you have any preferences? And I'm thinking, okay, well, let's try downtown. Maybe there is, who knows? I'll just throw it out there. So I go downtown. He looks, he goes, yeah, we have a comparable hotel. It's a 4-star, it's a Hilton, we can put you in there. I said, okay, that sounds good. I mean, I'd do that. And he goes, hold on, let me just double check. It's there, okay. Thank you for holding. Thank you. And he goes, you know what? Because you've been so nice and patient with us, we're going to pay for the hotel. So I go, really? He says, yes. Priceline, we're going to cover your hotel because it got canceled. I mean, they had to move me.
Right.
And then the process of getting, he had to like book it online himself. And I'm driving. I was in my car driving. I don't know if I let him know that. But look, the Bluetooth had to
work
perfect.
They probably thought the Cubs flew you out.
There you go. But so here's the deal. So to get the free hotel, now I'm staying downtown.
Yeah.
So I get downtown, walk to the stadium. I've been there one.
Yes.
I've been there. Now I spend the night, right? So the game 6 happens. Now I'm downtown. I don't drive back to the hotel. I'm downtown. So game 7, the morning of. So I wake up and I walk to the Cubs hotel at the Westin. So there on the way, I see the owner FaceTime, gives me a hug because he's been on all these comedy shows and sees me. It's all about showing your face, getting that opportunity. And then I go into the Starbucks one. I see Jake Arrieta, the manager, Kyle Schwarber, Joe Madden, and they see in the face and it's like positive energy. And that wouldn't have happened if I didn't stay downtown. Then I drive out to the airport. Now I had to get my own place, Red Roof Inn. Game 7, it's like game 7, and then I had a jersey. They've given me real jerseys the last couple
years. You had a Cubs
years.
Jersey? Or
I never wear it. I have a real deal Cubs jersey.
Where they do you keep it at your house?
Yeah, I just have it hanging.
Yeah.
It's not like in a special
place?
Living
room?
No. I've one in the living room, one in my bedroom.
Copy.
And
you have two.
Copy.
You have two.
From the last 2 years.
Oh, shit.
So I go, I'm going to bring this.
And they say Stevens?
Yeah.
Wow.
What number?
44.
Whoa,
nice.
Why 44? Because you love
caliber handgun.
You love Obama?
I thought of it like that. No, it was Anthony Rizzo. His number's 44, so it was his benefit.
The Riz.
And I wear size 44. That was the jersey size.
Whoa.
So
that's
a lot of 44s.
That's your dress size?
Apparently so, yeah.
Okay.
It fits great.
Respect
and,
that.
And I untucked it, kept it untucked, but I put it on. People said, oh, you should put it on the Periscope. So I put it on. And, you know, when I go out there, it's like they like when I go to the bullpen. My friend, like Brazello, they like it.
Because he's the catching coach, so he's in the bullpen.
Not correct. During the game. He's in the dugout.
Well, yeah. But
he's get him loose, yeah. What
before the game. I'm talking before the game.
Yeah.
What does
yeah.
a backup catcher make?
In the major leagues?
Yeah.
Probably $5 million, 3 to 5 if they're like a veteran. You know, but he's not a backup catcher. He's just a coach.
Do you think there's any way AJ Ells will come back to the Dodgers?
I wouldn't if I was him. They kind of like sent him away and not a...
And then they got rid of the guy they traded him for.
Yeah.
Okay,
I don't know who they're...
Story.
I guess they're going to use some other guys. But yeah, I don't know if they would have won, but I go out there and... but the pitchers, it's funny. It's like I go right back into it. Jake Arrieta. He goes, he saw me
yeah.
in Starbucks, and he pitched game 6. So this is after game 6, game 7 that morning.
The next day, yeah,
the
yeah,
next
yeah.
day, he goes, yeah, I saw you out there. I was like, he liked it. He liked that I wasn't trying to get his attention. I'm like behind the catcher, but they see it. So those are, you make eye contact. It's cool little things.
For
but,
Jake Arrieta to say, I noticed you while I was pitching game 6. That's pretty fucking
no,
crazy.
No, getting ready.
Yeah,
warming
but still.
Up.
Well,
I don't care. I'm telling you, if this isn't a 30 for 30, I don't know what is.
Well, it shows what What? I think being positive does. Honestly, like if you, I'm not saying I'm making money off this, but I'm fulfilling a baseball fantasy.
Right.
And I do have to thank my close friend Mike Brazello for bringing me in. But I've done my, remember, I worked at Best Damn Sports Show. I did play baseball at
Arizona
State.
You've done the goddamn work.
I've done the work, and it all kind of came together.
It's what I always heard about Brody Stevens.
Puts the work in.
Strong legs.
Grinder.
Yeah.
They win game seven. Do you?
Did you kill it on Grinder while you were out there?
No, I don't have that account anymore. No,
did they cancel your account for abusive language?
Well, I didn't update my debit card.
Dirty pictures.
Yeah. You know how dirty your pictures have to be to get kicked off a Grinder?
Pretty dirty.
I'm sure you do know. Did you cry when they won game
seven? You know
what?
I actually did cry, and I'll tell you why I cried.
I cried because I sat on my balls. What about you?
Hey!
I cried, honestly, because I felt like it was a result of believing and pushing. And I've been positive on Twitter, kind of documenting my experience.
Did you just graciously say you're welcome when they all thanked you afterwards?
Good question.
Yes, I did. I did say thank you for allowing me. Maybe I didn't. I probably should.
No, but did they thank you for being their
for
lucky?
Being there.
That's what we're getting at.
Did you say you're welcome?
Yes, of course. Yeah. Of course I said you're welcome. Remember, I played baseball at Arizona State.
I forgot that, but I do. That does ring a bell.
Sun Devil in the house.
So when you start saying like,
what position did you play?
I was a pitcher.
That's right.
But
did you ever catch?
What do you mean by that? Sometimes
they work together, right? Like it's like when a wide receiver and a quarterback play catch. Like he has to throw it back, he becomes the quarterback.
No, I wasn't. I mean, I can catch bulb. No, I'm not into that.
Okay,
but it does help your legs. Develops your legs.
Uh-huh. Yeah. It's all about the quads.
I just knew. I knew from. I think at Arizona State, with like little phrases, enjoy it. Yes, like players, they locked on to it.
We had talked about that last time.
We made it positive. Yeah. Like when they would threaten us with running, you know, we would. I'd be because I didn't like running. And I said,
so enjoy it goes back.
Yes.
40 years to college.
40 years?
How dare you?
Well, whatever it is.
That's just rude.
Fall of 88. Because I would go to McDonald's on Sunday. I was homesick. And I'd read the L.A. Times on Sunday. And I'd go to McDonald's. And this lady working there, right there in Tempe, I would order the Big Mac. I like a number one. And she had a little bit of a – her hands were handy. You know what I'm saying? So
handy hands.
Yeah, she had handy hands.
Right.
You know what I mean.
Yeah, she had an extra arm. Let's just say she's –
No,
she's been to the Olympics.
She had a dick.
She needed an extra.
She had a dick.
No, but the thing, you know, she may have had a thing.
If she was an Olympian, it would involve wheels.
It was her.
She had lobster claws.
Well, they weren't claws, but it was probably.
She looked
shellfish.
Like she was constantly working a puppet with no puppet on her hand.
Got it.
Yeah. Okay.
Nailed it.
Gotcha.
So
was she hot?
You're
good at this.
She was like I remember like 35 or so. I remember I ordered the Big Mac combo number one, and she just slides it over like, enjoy. She was so she presented it.
That's
with,
the only word she knew.
Yeah, but she took the order, but it was like, enjoy.
I wonder if she says that when she's getting
so
blasted.
So when did you decide?
Always.
When did you decide to add the it to it? Because that made it yours.
Well, enjoy just took with the baseball guys on the team. It's like turned into enjoy it, enjoy that, enjoy us. But we had other ones like there's a player Rex McMack, and everything was Mick. You know,
good old Mick.
This, Mick friend, Mick that. So you always. I knew that these little baseball sayings took weight, and then the one time where I knew it transferred over to Major League Baseball, because with the Yankees, I'd hang out. Brazello was with them for 12 years, mm-hmm. winning with Joe Torre, World Series. Yeah. I was around it. Mm-hmm. And we would go to lunch all the time on the road with Mike Mussina, great pitcher. And we would talk pitching. He went to Stanford. I went to Arizona State. We always talk pitching. And then he said one time he was in Seattle.
Did he look down on you?
No. Well, I mean, I didn't look at it that way. I mean...
Okay, got it.
Oh, because he went to Stanford.
Yeah.
Oh,
and he also is a major league pitcher, and you I mean, with all due
respect. That's not what I was saying.
I was going to say, you pitched. You were. I'm sure you pitched great.
He was great.
I just met intellectually.
Pitched deep. Well, he's smart.
Yeah.
No.
Intramural baseball at Arizona State versus.
By the way, Mike Mussina graduated from Stanford in 3.5 years. I believe he was an economics major. He was also in the movie Crossword. This movie about crossword puzzles. I was there. So
they made a movie about crossword puzzles?
The New York Times crossword puzzles.
Interesting.
Because he could do it. He was very good at it.
Let me ask you something.
Yes.
Even the Sunday?
As an Arizona State Devil, did you get a lot of that sweet ASU ass?
Sometimes, but I'd made mistakes too.
That college is known as probably having the hottest chicks.
It's the best airport to be in. Phoenix Airport?
Well, yeah, because it's hot chicks and there's a lot of coke at that airport.
Sky Harbor.
That's what it's known for, a lot of coke.
Sky Harbor, exactly right.
Yeah.
Were you awkward as a college?
Well, look at this.
I mean, you know, like being a youthful college age kid. Were you awkward with ladies, or did you have the same aplomb that you do now?
I think I was.
But were
I was
like
awkward.
Cleat hookers, like they're known as the cleat fuckers.
I was. Yes, I've been with girls
that
in college
just because you were on the team.
I'm sure that helped.
Probably because you were very good looking too. I mean, Jesus, Sam.
Brody still is good looking.
I know.
I think I'm better.
I have a question about the.
You're Armenian, right?
Jewish,
dude. That's rude, bro.
Why is that rude?
Coming from a fucking obvious white supremacist looking motherfucker, you're judging him and myself.
Is that what you thought when you walked in? Obvious white supremacist.
I did.
Is that the hit you got? What'd
with
you
a
get?
Hobo tan? You thought, goddamn, that white supremacist has a homeless tan.
Thank you very much.
You know why? Because
you're a gentleman.
Well, I
positive
play,
push.
You got it. Well, I play as a Jewish guy, blue collar, raised in the Valley. I played baseball in Arizona, surrounded by Aryans and Christians, and also playing baseball here in Reseda. I heard, you know, tons of Holocaust jokes.
The best one?
Oh, Jesus.
Well, you're a comic. I figured.
You know, it made me, you know, I didn't like it, but
you're
I
not
also.
Gonna tell me your best one.
Well, I don't, you know, just all the basics.
Can I
but
tell
just like
you,
they're doing soap jokes, lampshade jokes, like pretty harsh stuff.
Can I be honest
but
with
I
you?
Also found
the
that.
The Jews?
Yes.
The Jews? The only. I would say the Jews are the number one for not being able to take a joke, and then right after that is feminists. And you might be able to flip them. But in terms of people who watch jokes about themselves.
Are they good tippers?
Who?
Jews and feminists.
I'm fair.
I think Jews are.
I'm fair and more
so. I think Jews are.
What's fair?
20%?
Well, you know, it helps when they put the, you know, the math, when they put it down.
Do the math for you.
When they
do
the math for me.
I do 20%. Yeah. If it's really good, I'll go up for that.
And it's hard to go down from it, even if they suck.
I'll go 15 if they suck.
Yeah. I do 18.
You can't encourage shittiness, but I'll go 15. I'll do 20. I'll do 20, and if it's real good, I'll do 30.
I'll tell them to quit their job, maybe kill themselves, but then I'll still tip 20%.
Well, yeah, I get, you know, a little this, a little that.
So how I knew.
Can we get into you guys?
Let me just get this one thing. How I knew.
Uh-huh.
Back when.
Yeah.
Knew what?
That lunch with Mike Mussina in Seattle. He said that the pitching coach, Mel Stottlemyre from the Yankees, came out to the mound in Seattle to, like, talk to him. And he said, all I could think of is Brody. Mechanics, because we would talk mechanics, like get some, you know, like discussing mechanics. Mm-hmm. So I knew I kind of had
planted the seed.
I planted, but I didn't do it intentionally.
Sure.
But I saw that, hey, there is something about, you know, the major league guys like that also. And because I was brought into that world, I had, you know, unique access to see that. So that was planted a long time ago. I knew that. So I put that in the back pocket. And then, you know, in 2000, I started working at Best Damn Sports Show, and uh-huh. I kind of, like I said, all kind of came together. But I had early signs. I go, you know what? I see it does work. And then I applied it to warm-up. So I was able to take that approach into
That's
TV
what people
shows
have
at
to
Chelsea.
Understand. Dreams take time. Like this guy's talking, we're talking about a diabolical plan that started in 1988. And
Amazing.
Look where he is, 2016.
Amazing.
I wrote on
he
the parade.
The fruits
matching,
of
matching
his labor.
His beard and his hat.
What?
Matching his beard and his hat.
Yeah. But is there any part of you that's worried because the you know the handicapped girl at the McDonald's started like
enjoy
now that you're getting more famous, now that you helped the Cubs win the World Series, now that your
name. Are you thinking Lobster Claws might show up and ask?
She's
for,
no, not I'm lobster.
Saying,
she's puppet.
Are you worried about this mongoloid Jim Henson?
Oh, you know what?
Sending you a cease and desist.
Jim Henson is passed.
No, Junior, his son.
Oh, okay. I mean, it could.
So talk about Game 7, guys.
Go ahead,
Jason.
What's going
on? So I landed.
Then we'll get into the parade.
I was already, you know, I bought this ticket months in advance, you know.
Game 7?
Or I had all these plans to be recording this album.
Oh, okay.
I was already going there.
Flight out there.
You're going to be in Chicago.
I didn't know, you know, if there's a Game 6, I'm not there for Game 7. You know, I had no idea. But, you know, by the way the winds blow, I'm landing 40 minutes before the first pitch.
Of Game 7.
Of Game 7.
In Chicago.
O'Hare. In O'Hare.
Is it chaos?
So I'm, you know, I was supposed to go straight to my mom's and I was going to, you know, see family and then go do this album recording on a Friday, but it's Wednesday night. So I text my mom, you know, you ain't seeing me until tomorrow, right? Like, there ain't no way. And she's like, oh, just don't get arrested, honey. You got a lot of shit to do. Direct quote.
That's a love of a mother right
yeah,
there.
Yeah, direct
honey,
quote.
Don't get arrested.
Yeah, yeah.
Don't know what you've been up to.
So, instead of taking the train straight to, like, the South Shore through, like, Millennium Park, I just go the other way and go to where all my buddies are from, like, high school and stuff. With
what
their
do you do with your
shit.
Luggage?
It stood in between my legs in what? The most crowded bar. So I go, so I'm like, Old Town, you know where Old Town, I'm like four bars to the left of Zany's. That's where I'm at, the downtown Zany's. So every bar, walking from the train to this bar where my friends are, looks like, remember in like the 50s when they're like, how many people can you stuff into a phone booth? That's what every bar looked like.
Crazy.
Like, I stood outside this thing with, like, I had, like, a big backpack. I didn't have, like, a suitcase. But I'm like, you know, there's legs coming out the window. There's, like, there's no way I could even get into this room, let alone wherever the fuck my friends are. Of, like, trust me, we got a little corner for you. It was so packed in there.
How packed
when my
was
phone,
it?
When my phone would vibrate, I couldn't make the move to pull it out of my pocket to look at it without elbowing six fucking people. And
holy
people like, dude,
shit.
Quit looking at your fucking phone, man.
They said
there's two strikes. No, I never did. But you would, anybody that would get their phone out, you would have been murdered in this bar. You would have absolutely have been murdered.
Well, I would have kept my phone in my hand.
Because everybody,
would never have put
like
it
but everybody looks at it like, dude, you're taking space of everybody that really cares about this. Like everybody was in there. Like no one looked at their phone. I mean, it was like dead serious when they tied. So I got there about top of the fourth. Top of the
game
fourth.
Seven.
Game seven. And everybody's, I mean.
How'd you get into the bar? It must have been like packed.
Crowd surf.
Pretty much. You just weasel.
You
he
went,
goes,
you
go
and he vetted it.
Yeah, 100%.
What he bar goes, was this? Dave and Buster's?
No. It's two bars right by Zany's. I don't remember the name of it.
It's called the Manhole.
It was really cool. Oh, I got, there's a Manhole story coming.
Oh, yeah. Tuesday nights are good there.
So, were the gay bars packed too?
You're about to find out.
Is that a double entendre? So, the gay bars were packed.
So every bar was packed. So
redundant.
They tie it. It's 6-6 now. They tie it. And bro, when I say everybody in this bar was like, "Here it comes," and a Cubs fan are like 70-year-old battered wives that just stuck through it, and they're like, "This is just how my life's gonna be, and I'm gonna take my beating, and I'm gonna stay loyal." That's what being a Cubs. So there was this point where we're like, maybe I'm getting out of this abusive relationship, and it's gonna go good. And then when they tied it 6-6 at the bottom of the eighth. Everybody in the bar was like, you know, like a cowering wife that knows a beating's coming, like
pissing and shitting yourself.
Here it comes. They let us believe all the way to the fucking ninth inning, and now they're going to take it away from us. You know, the universe, whatever. So, dude, you could hear a pin drop in there. The biggest party you've ever been at. It must have been like being at Hillary's thing.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
Yeah, yeah.
Canceling fireworks, and everyone had that like, no. You know, and then when they went to the 10th, rain delay. They went up at the top of the 10th. I've never experienced that many people happy about the same thing at once. There was 14 arrests that night in Chicago. 14.
That's not a lot.
That's low for that night. Something
it's
like
more
that.
More points than Jay Cutler.
Dude, there's probably in my hometown, there was probably that many people arrested. 14. That's how great those. And I'm talking about Santa Monica, you know the parade for Halloween or a Halloween parade.
Oh yeah,
that's
I mean,
what.
Yeah,
imagine that. Every street in
so
Los
everyone's
Angeles.
Dressed up like gay superheroes.
Pretty much every street in Los Angeles was that packed.
You wish you had your cape.
Nothing but horse cops everywhere.
Horse cocks
and everybody horse cocks. The coolest thing was, so then we all jump on a train.
Oh, you banged a chick.
Yeah. We
oh,
jump
you
on
did?
A, no.
You did a train.
I'm saying we.
I love Dirty Brody. This guy's
you got it.
Dirty
I push.
So we all get on a train. and everybody in Chicago pretty much did, and head to the stadium.
Blue line. To red line. Red whatever line. Trains.
Red line so it was, like, line a, it was like a Chinese fucking subway. Just people
like you're
packing
in.
It.
On a bus.
And everybody's singing. Everybody's going nuts.
What's the song
Cubs
they
go.
Say?
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
How's
go,
it go?
Cubs go. Hey, Chicago, what do you say? It's a fun song.
Yeah, yeah.
Dude, when they won always, the World Series.
That'd drive me fucking nuts.
No, dude.
It's a fun song.
As a Dodger fan,
holy,
as much as that drove me nuts, it was so cool to hear
it's
that
fun.
Stadium sing. And I'm a diehard Dodger fan. But to hear that stadium sing that, I mean, that gave me a little goosebumps.
There's all those videos of people on their rooftops from like a mile and a half away, and you can hear the whole city singing it.
I've heard it.
That
you know,
choked me up.
It gave me goose pimples, and to this day, I'm still putting Clearasil on that.
Wow.
Dirty Brody.
Actually, bacteria dirty.
So we go red line there. Get off the train, and there's 150,000 people all crying, hugging. And the
Did
coolest
you see
thing
anybody
was,
fucking?
Didn't see anybody fucking.
Oh, man, you don't want it.
I know, they don't want it. So the coolest thing was, though, because that's in a neighborhood. And that's in a neighborhood where a lot of people have lived there their whole lives. It was their parents' house, their millions of dollars worth of property. And because the Cubs are in your neighborhood, it's such a part of your life. Every summer, it's just a thing. All the 80-year-old women and men that live in that neighborhood, they were walking around with their Cubs hat and a champagne bottle that they've been waiting to open forever and waving their flags. Everybody was hugging them and taking pictures with them and asking them, you know, how long have you lived? You know, what's your fucking thing? It was such a fucking cool, real human moment where so many people were just happy. You know what I mean? Everyone was just super cool.
It's cool.
So you couldn't get anywhere, and here's where it gets dicey. So you know where that stadium is, Broads. We walked
Wrigley
from
Stadium,
there
yeah.
to where I was staying, which is right where Michigan and Lakeshore meet.
Yep.
So I'm right. So basically walking from there to the lake. It's a long walk, but it's not an impossible walk because you can't get a car. You can't get an Uber. You can't do shit. So as we're walking, it's, you know, you pass 10,000 bars and everything is jam packed. And my buddy's wife is like, I want to go dancing. He's like, oh, now you want to fucking do your John Travolta impression at 3:30 in the morning? But she's hammered. She's like, let's just go in here. Everyone's dancing in here. I've had to take top 30 pisses I've ever had to take in my life.
Top 30?
And I love to piss. And there's nowhere to piss because it's just everywhere. It'd be like pissing. You'd have to piss right in front of everybody. There's nowhere to piss. So I'm like, just go in there. Let's piss. So we go into this bar. She goes to the dance floor. My buddy goes to the bar. I almost sprint to the bathroom. I open the bathroom door, walk in, and there's a dude sucking another dude's dick.
Yes. Positive push.
And they're the only two people in the bathroom. And he's sitting on a toilet with the seat down. Pants,
oh, Rusty.
Pants
hold on.
Rusty Chambrone.
He's getting a blumpkin?
Oh. No, that's him. I'm saying the seat's down. His pants are on.
Was this at Dave and Buster's?
The guy sitting is sucking.
He's using it as a chair.
Well, man.
So
I
wait.
Totally
but there's like a urinal
here.
Right next to the toilet. But there's not
Who
a
kneels
wall.
In a bathroom?
It's
that
a
would be
harsh.
Gross.
There's like a partition thing that only comes up to like his shoulders between the urinal and here.
Good
so it's like
I'm
taking a prison shit. Whoever shits in his bar, you're taking a prison shit. So this
so
guy's sitting here, and there's
flush.
A guy facing him, and he's sucking his dick, and I walk in, and they both kind of turn and look at me, one dude with a cock in his mouth, like a fucking cigar, and he looks at me, and I had to piss so bad that I just go like this, gentlemen, and I just start pissing, bro. They just go back to their sucking, and I'm out.
No boner, nothing?
Me?
Yeah.
I walked in hard, but so there was a total quinky
thing.
Did
he try to grab it and you hit his hand?
Nah, we just
wanted a walrus in?
No, we just agreed to fucking go about our business.
Do your own thing.
And then I go out and I go to my buddy Johnny.
That's America right there.
I go to my buddy Johnny, I go, yo, man, just, you know, I think we're in a gay bar. He goes, what makes you say that? I go, trust me. Either we're in a gay bar or someone just paid off the craziest bet ever of like, no, fucker, you said in 1996, if they ever win, you'll suck my dick. I got it written down. He pulls out the
but
most
please tell me they
paper.
Look like you with their Cubs head on and their dick a mustache.
They were
pretty, good looking guys.
Couple of Martindales enjoying the night.
Yay for them, dude.
Yay for them.
Let them celebrate.
Hey,
why can't you get a nice dick in your mouth?
Up
it's been 108 years.
I was happy for him. I ain't happy enough to like high five him or anything.
I don't think you need the Cubs to win for that.
Oh, you know,
I don't think that has anything to do with it.
You celebrate your way, they'll celebrate
I
their way,
so.
And guess what? Nobody's getting hurt.
Yeah,
I think win or
wins.
Lose, one of those guys is getting their dick sucked by the other one. I'm even willing to bet they probably didn't even know the game happened.
Could be. Could be.
I don't remember a lot of TVs in this bar now that I recall.
I'm sure they had the game on.
Oh, they. I'm. I mean, I'm sure they did. And I'm sure that bar was pretty empty at
how many Ernie
10
Banks babies are coming out?
Probably a lot. There's probably a lot of Rizzos. Probably a lot of Fowlers.
So they have the big parade and the celebration, which
this is what I want to get into.
Listen,
what city?
The seventh largest meeting of human beings
public
ever.
Public gathering.
In mankind. Do you know what the seventh or the ninth largest gathering of human beings was?
World Fair or something.
Nope. No.
Keep in mind, all the top six are
NSYNC at the Rose Bowl.
Ayatollah's funeral. Pilgrimages to fucking
Mecca.
Guess
what the ninth is?
Huh.
Rod Stewart's concert in Latin America.
Brazil. Wow.
3.2 million people showed up to
it. That's dope.
Yeah, if you're Rod Stewart, you're like, fuck you. I'm the man.
None of the top 10 were in America, except for this. Except
it's crazy how we got a small scope of what happens in the world. Yeah. It's like I was in China, and they go, here's the top 10 outlets for sports stores, and like Dunham's ain't on the list or whatever. Like anything you can think of in America. Like I don't know. I don't recognize any of those fucking names. And these are the biggest financial boons for any kind of sports store that happens. And we just don't have any scope for what world is really.
There's in China, because I was just there. There's three
you were in
tiers.
China?
Yeah, I just did stand up there. I can get you a gig there if you want.
Oh, they have an improv?
Yes.
Beijing Improv?
No, it's Xiamen Improv. They have three
factory.
Tiers, right? Your first tier is like...
they got seven tier cities.
I heard it was three, but maybe it's seven.
Well,
but
the first one is over 50 million, and then the... like
I don't know if it's
by
that
population.
Big, but it's more about modernization.
Right.
Like how modern it is. Like, we went to a three-tier city, which is like a hick town. Guess how many people lived in
15
that?
15 million.
7 million people. 7 million people, and it was a beach town. So imagine Myrtle Beach with 7 million people. The
it's
size
crazy.
Of New York City.
Well, that's what they say. Like, Shanghai, they count 25 million people that are Chinese nationals that are there. But then they say there's 25 million expats there. So that's 50 million, and Shanghai is only the third or fourth largest city. So there's three or four that are more than that.
Chinese on top of Chinese, and I love it. Basically, China is Vegas without the laws. As long as you don't harm another human being, you as an expat can do anything you want. People are like, this is America. We're the freest country in the world. Go to China and watch what you can do.
It's so weird, too, because I thought, like, there's this dark, omnipresent... you know, the communist fucking regime and all that. And it's like, there's no communists anywhere in the world. There's no fucking anybody. Like, nobody gives a fuck about their government. It's just a bunch of nice, smiley people trying to get by, helping each other, raising families, trying to make a buck. And
that's the world.
Didn't see one
travel.
Tank. Didn't see one fucking machine gun. There's
I
no cops anywhere.
I saw a couple
anywhere.
Machine guns, but that's fine.
I didn't see
like,
any of that.
Any Puerto Ricans?
In fucking Colombia, there's fucking machine
Puerto
guns
Rican.
On every corner.
I'm out.
Everywhere.
What?
Like, there's other places that are just different than that, that are way
right.
more
you go to Middle
dangerous.
East and it's a little shady, but...
No, man, even South America. I mean,
yeah. Brazil?
It's like, it's a different thing. And there, it's like... And then I go, hey, you guys fuck with religion at all? They're like, yeah, we don't really do that. And I go, we're fixing to have a religious war right now in America. Like, they're positing everybody for this fucking thing. And they looked at me like I was retarded. Like, that was the most, like, aberrant idea.
Nobody
like, why would that happen? Like,
it's so interesting when you go there and they, like, dude, they had the World Series game on in China.
Yeah.
I watched it at a Raging Cajun.
Really?
Yeah.
Raging Cajun.
That's what
they
had.
What city were you in?
I was in Shanghai in Xiamen.
Yeah.
Xiamen's the shit.
Is it all westernized?
Dude, you go there. I had Chinese coffee at a Starbucks.
Do they have Wi-Fi?
I had some Chinese food at a cave. Everywhere,
all
dude.
That. It's all that.
So you go on internet, no problem.
I did. They warned us against it. Like everybody
really?
Warns you. Everybody warns you against it.
Why?
But they say because they say that the government will go ahead erase some of your Gmail or whatever is aberrant to the government or whatever. But it's not really accurate. And then they say, well, then they'll put tracking devices in there and they're going to watch everything that you do on your email or whatever for the rest of your life.
Well,
and I'm like, if that's happening, that's already happening here. It's not like it's any like so what?
Do you hear what Comey said? I mean, say what you want about Comey, but he's like. Hey, dude, if you're hanging out at your computer, you should block your camera.
Sure, they've been saying that for a decade.
That?
Yeah.
Why? So they...
They watch it, dude. The new televisions, they say they can watch you. They can watch you through the television.
For sure.
One of these people, one of these companies may have to make an apology. Yes, the government can watch you through your television.
And what are they looking for?
Even if these are off, they say.
They're looking for bad stuff? Or they're just like observing?
I would like the government to know my camera is on. I still want ISIS. I still want El Chapo. Anybody from ISIS wants to try to behead us?
You know that.
Stop.
I wouldn't say
that. Beheading stuff was all fake. Our government got busted.
You're that guy now?
No, I'm not that the guy that knows what's going on. That guy, yeah.
Every beheading was fake.
Yeah, it wasn't real, dude.
Really?
Did you watch that documentary?
They got caught. Paying a fucking British PR firm $500 million to make those fucking videos.
I can't believe you're that guy now.
I'm not that guy. It's real.
I'm going to look it up.
So all
it's news to me.
That whole documentary about that family, about that guy, Jim, everybody that was captured with him is all fake.
It's all fake.
He
didn't get fucking... Dude, it's real. Go look it up.
What about the Jordanian pilot?
What about the Jordanian?
The guy they put in the dog cage and lit on fire?
That's maybe real, but the beheading stuff isn't real.
Well, I'm not for that either.
None of them or all of them?
They were paid to make those videos.
It's possible.
You guys can call me crazy.
Well, for sure, some of them. I mean, who knows if all of them.
Because it doesn't have an ABC or an NBC or a CBS on it, you don't think it's fucking real. Well, guess what? Six people own all those fucking things, and they control the message. And the message is fucking fear, and we got to fight them. Why do we got to fight them? Because we want to take their resources, so we have to make them the bad guy, so we get angry, just like that guy in fucking Orlando yelled ISIS. And
I hope you're learning something right now.
You guys can call me conspiracy theory guys. It's not conspiracy theory.
So where is this guy who got his head?
It's all bullshit, dude.
So he's
with his
bullshit. Family?
It's all bullshit.
He's back in America
with
his
family? It
wasn't a
real fucking thing. Yeah, dude.
So this whole Showtime HBO documentary about this guy's face.
It's all propaganda, dude. Listen to fucking Bill Maher. Listen to John Oliver. They get a paycheck from Time Warner. Time Warner is owned by these fucking six entities, dude. It's all the same, dude. It's all part of the fucking...
It's called Spectrum now.
Military industrial complex. And you can call me
You're
a conspiracy
on the
theory. And that's fine. Do the research. It's
Nobody's calling you a conspiracy theory.
I mean, what does do the research mean? I watched the documentary on HBO about this family.
No, dude.
So read some crazy guy's article that no one can cross.
It's not a crazy guy's article, man. If you read enough research, you find there's some fucking valid people that haven't been bought. Why does fucking Universal... And what's the Latino version of
Telemundo?
Univision.
Why do they buy the Onion? Why did they buy the Onion?
Because it tastes good.
Because people were reading the Onion and they were laughing and they were getting news from the Onion. That's why they go in and buy these things, dude. Everyone goes, "Wow, fucking Universal just bought the Onion." Why? To control the message.
Yep. I'm not sure. All of that's going on.
That's
we can talk about
the thing. I think is bullshit is that you watched a documentary.
What I'm saying is,
that, Jason.
I can't believe the HBO made a documentary interviewing.
What was the name of it?
These devastated families.
What was the name of it?
My name is Jim.
HBO with Jon Stewart and Bill Maher put out fucking misinformation over and over again.
I know.
They got fucking pounded for
one specific documentary I'm talking
about. Why is it one thing when they got
Because you're saying this beheading was fake and staged.
Look
it
up. It's not real.
I watched. This whole family now should win Academy Awards because they're hanging with their kid now.
Did they cry?
I mean, yeah, they really sold me
That's
that
horrible.
This guy was kidnapped, and so did all the journalists that were there that didn't seem like they were getting
paid.
Dude,
maybe that
by
one
Burger
was real,
King.
But, dude, they got busted faking these videos.
Do you guys,
go watch the fucking thing. Go look it up.
Do you guys feel like when you yell, it makes it more real?
Yeah.
No, that's our show.
That's our
podcast.
Got it. All right.
Jason and Sam yell.
Got it.
And Ari. He's just got not it. Here.
Ari yells, too, and he storms up, but he goes
I'm sure he's
more
yelling
gay
somewhere.
Snarky.
More
he's
yelling somewhere.
He does do that a little bit.
He gets so gay snarky.
Brody Stevens, you have a question.
Well... It's not really a question.
Or changing the tack of the conversation.
Well, I want to hear how you got on the fucking bus through the biggest parade in the world.
Can I not be yelled at? I'm getting yelled at.
You're going to have to behave better if you don't want to be yelled at.
I mean, I'm just trying to, like, show you.
Get your thoughts together.
That, no, my thought, there's really no thoughts. It's just about being good, being positive.
Yeah, just.
And I was at... Again, I've been around winning teams. Winning since...
You didn't really get the Dodgers a trophy, bro.
They made two championship series.
Which
Clayton Kershaw,
you were around
Russell
two winners,
Martin.
Two winners and
yes.
a couple of...
And
the Dodgers.
And around
four,
the Yankees.
Four years.
My friend that I grew up with has been in the playoffs 16 out of his 20 years.
That's pretty impressive. I was thinking that earlier. I know, like, this guy was there for the Yankees run. Now he and the Dodgers, he can't help them
and
get better.
Little League. I saw it firsthand.
In Little League, you saw it? Okay.
Was he insisting on being the coach when he was seven? Like, I want
to
be the catching coach?
No, but he grew up in the world of Major League Baseball. So we would go to Dodger Stadium, anywhere where Joe Torre would be. Joe Torre managed the Mets. Joe Torre managed the Atlanta Braves. Joe Torre managed the
Isn't Joe Torre a black comic?
Yes. There is.
That's Guy Torre.
No, Joe Torre is his brother.
Joe and Guy.
But they spell it different. So I well,
they,
I,
excuse me.
They spell it differently. Joe Torre and Joe Torre.
Oh, I thought you said they smell different, and I was like,
"Oh, whoa,
gotta
no!
Be they.
Why
does it got to be they?
Oh, come on! How dare
what do you mean
you?
Those people?
Those people spell it different.
They meaning like Italian. Oh, mm-hmm. What I got to upset them now. Mm-hmm. I just saw it. Like I said, I saw it, and then the more I was able to, as I grew up and became more mature, and I really feel like doing those Cubs conventions gave me that in to. The non-player side, the owner, general manager.
Must have felt you good, too, in that way, that you weren't going to get called to task. Nobody's going to be like, hey, get out there and throw some fastballs for us. You were like, no, I'm the entertainer guy now.
Well,
what if they
instead of the athlete?
Have
you moved past as an athlete?
No, I still suit up.
What if you do?
Yes. I still play.
Cleats and the whole deal?
Yes.
Really? When you do comedy for them?
No, when I hang out.
Do you wear a cup?
Sometimes.
I respect.
What if game seven, we have the rain delay.
I'm just letting you go ahead.
Then it goes 10 innings. What if that game went 16, 17 innings? They run out of pitchers. They look over. There's Brody.
No.
It's not.
Jason, that's fantasy. I'm giving you, Jason, if you guys, I could really give you inside stuff, but I'm really not getting the chance. And it's, look, what do I know? Why was I in The Hangover? Why? How did I get into that? I've never taken an acting class in my life. That movie was the number one R-rated comedy of all time. Why did I end up doing...
Why?
Look at Best Damn Sports Show.
Why?
Looking back on it now, everybody that came through that show is doing stuff now. Michael Strahan, Stephen A. Smith.
Strahan got fired.
Shit.
We didn't
he quit?
No.
Got fired.
Well, these guys have... Chris Rowe.
Right. How did you
Michael
lose that job?
Right.
What's that?
How'd you lose that job?
I didn't lose it.
Well, what happened? You're still
there?
The
show went away.
Dude, he's trying to teach us a lesson.
I'm trying to learn.
But
no, you're
I
not.
Did that... Look, I'm giving stats. I'm giving stats, and I'm giving respect
you're
of
loud
comedians
again right now. You're allowed to.
Okay. All right.
Why are you yelling at me?
I'm just trying to say, like, you know, I've been playing baseball a long time. I've been around the Cubs.
Did you do gay stuff in Thailand? I heard something about that.
Well, you know, we went to a
dark place.
A tranny bar. Everybody went.
And you got that.
You got
that.
Are they hot?
There's some ones that you don't know what's going on there.
And now, you got some, but you do know because you've explored.
Well, everybody goes. I'm not, honestly.
No, but
I say
you
I
know what's going on there.
Limit.
Yeah.
Well, you know what? But you're there and it's like, okay, I'll let the guy.
Tony Hinchcliffe said you knelt down and peeled the panties down. And then maybe it was a surprise to you, maybe not. Dong fell in your face and you just went to work.
No.
That's
I've
not
never
true.
Done that. I've never, ever, no.
Tony's okay. Not a liar.
Tony is a liar.
I fib. I don't lie.
Let's get back to the... Okay, you were about to tell us that you're a positive person, and that's why things are going great.
No, I'm not saying that's why. I'm saying that I think it does play a role in certain things.
Okay.
You know, you look about having...
Are you saying that him and I yelling at each other is negative energy?
No, I'm saying like, hey, I feel like... Within a certain window of this Cubs thing, I have real stuff to share.
Yeah.
If you want to talk about blowjobs in a gay bathroom, we can. Or I can talk about
a real thing, though, Brody.
That really happened.
That's a part of his story.
I'm not discounting that. And it's a good bit. It did pull me in, and it was a bit.
It's not a bit. It really happened.
Look, it did remind me of Thailand. I'm sorry.
Okay. So let's get... How did you get in the parade?
So wait, you fly back. Did they fly you back, or you took your rental car back? Because you had a date.
I don't work for the Cubs.
Right, I know. But I'm saying you were a part of all that. Now everyone's celebrating, and they're like, hey, come on the plane. Come be in the parade.
There's no plane.
How did that... Were they busing it?
No. Okay. They flew.
Okay.
They would miss
you,
though. If they looked out in the crowd and they didn't see your face, they'd be like, where's that guy?
You mean Brody?
Yeah.
What did they call you? Did they call you Brody?
They know me.
Did they have a nickname for you?
They know me.
Where's Stevens? Get 44 out here. Something like that.
Look, I know. All I know is I'm getting asked to come out there.
Yeah.
And you're getting asked to go out there?
And here's a ticket for you. There you go.
Yeah.
That's awesome.
So, what can I tell you?
So where did I? Because I have a lot of questions.
Not every game. I didn't get a ticket for every game.
No, I'm talking.
Are you upset about that?
I'm talking about the parade, which was one of the greatest things I've ever seen. I've never seen a city. No, I watched it on TV because I had to do my special that night. So I was about an hour away. But I watched the whole thing on TV. And 9.5 million people live in Chicago.
Okay.
5.5 million people were at this parade.
God.
Now, if you take away jails, institutions, the elderly, old folks' homes,
people that had to work that day.
People that had to work that day. You're talking about pretty much the whole city showed up for this magical moment.
That's awesome.
And I'm there and I'm watching that there's 22 buses. They drive right through from the stadium, right through to what I know is Grant Park, Millennium Park, it's called.
Mm-hmm.
And lo and behold, I'm looking at on Twitter and all this sort of stuff, and I see Brody's periscoping from the roof of one of the buses with the team. And you're driving through the city on the bus with the team, and you were a part
of
this parade. You're on the bus with the trophy, true or false?
I have a photo. Yes, I have a photo with the trophy.
He's on the bus that had the trophy, driving through one of those double-deckers, all the teams on top of the bus. Mm-hmm. Almost
magical.
6 million people.
Yeah.
How incredible must have that have been? How jealous I was, you have no
And I was. My intention was not to make people jealous or gloat. It was to share.
I didn't take it that
How
way.
Loud
I didn't
was
take it?
It
that way.
Like with the deafening cacophony of voices and cheering. Like no music going on or anything, just everybody just
air horns.
Amazing.
But it was down Lake Michigan, so it was like there was no place for the sound.
Beautiful day.
Beautiful day. This sunny, thing could have been freezing and raining.
62 degrees, sunny. It was perfect. It was a perfect day. A little bit of clouds, but perfect day.
Yeah, and I didn't have any idea. Well, I had an idea if they won, I'd get a chance to be in the parade. Because after they won game 5 to force a game 6.
Yeah.
My friend who works for the team, I have other friends that work for the Cubs.
Sure.
So he says, come up to Murphy's Bleachers. That's like the unofficial Cubs bar behind, right there at Wrigley, right next to Wrigley Field. So I go there, and he's kind of drunk. It's because they won. They just wanted to win that. They wanted to send it back to Cleveland at least.
Right.
So they kind of celebrated that.
And that's
that
first
win
World
the
Series
before.
Game they've won in Wrigley Field in 108
yeah,
years.
Yeah, yeah.
Wow.
So they did. Years. People did celebrate, and they just wanted to send it back to Cleveland.
Any violence or anything?
No, but there was Hillary for prison shirt. I mean, a big banner behind.
I don't see how that's relevant.
Well, that was like what they're saying that.
That was negative energy.
No. You know why? Because I did a podcast with Josh Wolf. Just came from that, and he talked about there was anti-Hillary stuff all over the place. And he said the only one I've seen is like Hillary for prison, and they had that at the All-Star game. That was the only one I've seen. That's what we were just talking about at that other podcast. So I got confused.
Easy to do.
Yeah. Was I talking about?
You had an inkling that you be invited.
So I go, he says, come up, he texted me, he says, come up to the bar. I said, okay. I happened to be out, putting the energy out. I said, I'll take the train. And he goes, hurry up. And Uber was actually half the quicker. So I took Uber, I get to the bar. He's kind of drunk. I'm drinking. And he's talking to his buddy. And he says, you know what? We're going to go to Cleveland. We're going to win game 6. We're going to win game 7. And you're going to be on the parade.
Whoa.
Yes. You're going to be on. So he like told me. Now he's a little buzzed in the afternoon, but I'm thinking, okay. So then the night before, I thought about maybe going to Cleveland. I said, oh, I can do it. Yeah. You know, I don't I fly out. I can do it. I got it. Like, and then Berzello, he said, come out there. You come to Cleveland. So I knew I would have a ticket. And that's when I drove. I got the free room. So I did that. And then even after game 6, I mean, I'm there to win. I knew like. You know, I could have partied with Bill Murray and Eddie Vedder. Looking back on it, I could have a couple times. But I was so locked in to the coaching, the inner workings of what goes on behind the scenes that people have no idea what goes on.
I love that.
But it honestly took somebody with blue collar. I went to the game four. And the Cubs were up 1-0 and then the Indians came back, tied it. Crowd went quiet. And then, because they were cheering after every second strike, get up and cheer. And then when the Indians tied it, crowd got quiet. And
in
then the,
Cleveland?
No, in Chicago. Oh. And then when they hit the home run, it went up 2-1. The crowd was dead. and they ended up losing the game. The crowd was dead, and it was probably because everyone's bringing their family there, their expensive tickets. I was there. I've been to Yankee games. You got to cheer for these playoffs. You're up the whole time. Red Sox fans are up. The Cubs are like, they quit. They got not the fans. They got scared. It was like dead. And I go, they're supposed. I put that out. I go, you got to bring more energy because it brought down. So the next game, you know, backs against the wall. They won. They won game five.
Uh-huh.
And then, but I sense that's how you were talking about the bar, how everyone was freaking out. Same thing was happening. I was at the game when the home run happened. Yeah. So I felt it, the energy right there at the pulse of everything. Mm-hmm. I was around Indian fans exploding violently when they tied that game. And I did write. I mean, it was insane. I've never, I mean, the vendors, the food workers, everyone was up going crazy, running around. Cub fans are like stunned and shocked. And I was thinking the same thing, uh-oh, but I had to stay the course. And it meant me bouncing around to the bullpen, seeing the guys out there, going to a different view, not being up in the section that I was in with strangers high-fiving and being around their stress and negative energy. So that home run happened, and then I went – they didn't score in the – what was it, the ninth inning?
No,
so I
didn't.
Felt like one at the tenth or whatever inning they didn't score.
Ninth.
And I go, the Indians are good. I felt like they're going to win. I don't know. And then that rain delay happened. But
how much of that do you think helped?
A lot, because Jason Hayward was able to talk the team and kind of put them together. I saw in spring training in the last 2 years, Joe Maddon is a positive guy. He's in terms of like letting you be you, whatever relaxes you, as long as we respect the game, show up on time. And I'm not going to make you show up early. You show up like 2 hours. He treats it like it's Sunday baseball. So that's why he gets the most out of these guys. And then you tie in the coaches. The coaches actually doing the scouting. You know, I was around these pitchers who turn their seasons around based off stuff that the coaches give. And I saw that firsthand. People don't know. And I saw the results of that, and I saw the results of just being, you know, focusing on getting the work done and believing. Bottom line is they won, and I feel like I brought – definitely lifted him up in some way.
You did what you could. It was such an amazing, like, you know, my family's Cubs fans, my mom's own two original of the wooden, like, fold-down box seats when they remodeled Wrigley in, like, 1922. So they have two original seats from that with their fucking, you know, they bought them at an auction. Like, first Cub games I went to, I was 6 years old. First two public fist fights I ever saw were at Wrigley Field. First time I was ever drunk underage was Wrigley Field.
Yeah, all this stuff is true.
I grew up with that part of my family and part of that. And, you know, they call it the world's biggest singles bar. That's what they call Wrigley Field. I've gone to games with many, many people that we've left and been at the Cubby Bear or any of these bars right there. Just being there talking and being like, who won? Like, you had the best time of your life. And, you know, it's 3 hours later. You can't remember who won the game. I've been there when there were chants of we're number four. With 400 people, and everybody loving it, and you know what I mean? It's just such a, and for that, you just grow up going like, I love this to death. I love this city. I love the field. I love the history behind it. I love Cubs fans.
Mm-hmm.
They share a masochism that only I relate to, in sports and not.
Did they light any cars on fire or anything?
Nothing.
Nothing like
but
that.
But here, Jason,
300,000 people that night.
But all that stuff, arrests. It didn't Crazy. Bring winning.
I know. I'm not. You helped Cubs win.
I'm not. I'm not
personally did not. I'm just saying, for 38 years of my life,
right?
I've been a diehard Cubs fan.
Yeah, you are.
I've been getting made fun of for it. I've never been called a bandwagoner until a week ago when I had my World Series Cubs hat on. And people were like, oh, you like the Cubs now, huh, bro? I'm like, you've seen me wear a Cubs hat for the 20 years. You know me, dipshit. You know, no one's. And I welcome all the bandwagoners. I welcome all the people that are like, hey, man, I like watching this team now.
I just felt Chicago, the Cubs fans, they had to be a little tougher. You know, Chicago is a friendly city. It's into improv. It's not necessarily – it's a happy city.
It's not Philadelphia. It's not Boston.
Isn't that one of the most violent cities in the country?
It can be. South side.
South side is very – in the west side.
There's a neighborhood that gives it a bad name.
But Cub fans are very happy. They're jovial. They're the lovable losers.
Is that right?
Yeah. So you got to get people in there who aren't necessarily lovable.
It's like the little girl that always was like a kind of like an ugly duckling, and then you know you see you watch her whole life, and then you see her become prom queen or something. Mm-hmm. That's kind of what it feels like. It's like, see, I never turned my back on you, even when you were an ugly little piglet or whatever. Whatever.
But they brought in, you know, the new owner, Tom Ricketts, bought the team.
That changed.
You know,
a
couple few years ago, whatever. Five
How much
years
does
ago?
It cost to buy a team?
Close to, it's probably like $700 million, maybe. He bought that. That's now it's worth, got to be worth way over a billion.
It's got to be. It's got to be.
Is that a goal of yours?
No. It depends if you own the stadium
or
not.
You wouldn't want to own a team eventually.
No.
You wouldn't. So what was the coolest and some of the craziest things you saw riding on this bus going through that town?
Yeah.
Everybody's going nuts.
Open-air blowjobs on the roof?
Just.
Why does he laugh?
Just again, seeing all the people out, all the happy faces, and like also people climbing up in trees, climbing up on light poles, looking out, you know, off in the windows, the apartments, you know, around the stadium there. They had people like hanging out of their apartment windows, a lot of old people, tons of family. So you saw all their, you know, their faces, how
anybody
happy
flashing
they were.
Tits. Anybody didn't do anything crazy like that?
I didn't see it. I saw all, like, a lot of cameras and just happy people.
Now, you were on the, now, from what I heard, every player or coach or person involved with Cubs on these 22 buses got 6 tickets they could give away to family and friends.
Oh, really? Okay.
Yeah, that's what I had heard. So you, just so you know, you were one of the 6 tickets that they.
I got in, but my, you know, I didn't go expecting.
What an honor.
No, but I didn't expect to be at any World Series games. I didn't go to the games in San Francisco. I didn't go to the games here in L.A. I'm a regular season spring training guy. World Series is something else. Wow. So, I mean, Major League Baseball runs the playoffs. So in terms of, like, me having access like I would during regular season, it wasn't going to happen. Yep. And I understood that. And then in terms of, like, tickets or whatever, I know they're strapped. I know guys have, you know, it's the Cubs.
I mean, you know how that – I mean, doing comedy, it's like, you know, you could do a show and, you know, 8-10 people can hear, hey, man, can you get me – eventually, y'all get 2 or 3 people in, but it's like – if I'm comping 18 people and they're all there to see me, it's like club's going to be like, dude, I hope they're fucking raging alcoholics or you're costing us money.
Right.
Yeah. Luckily, they all are. But
yeah, I honestly,
I can't imagine their demand for tickets. I see that with Joe Rogan. I see that with Rogan where it's like, even if I'm in Vegas, I'm not going to hit Joe up like, hey, man, can you get me into the UFC? There was a time 8-10 years ago when Rogan could give 10-20 people tickets.
Right.
Now UFC super popular. Now it's the talk of the town.
Yeah, he gets
now
like
Rogan gets like 2 or 3
yeah.
tickets.
Yeah.
And I know Rogan and I are friends. I ain't on that list. You know, I don't even ask. So it's so amazing that, you know, one of these Cubs just won the World Series. You get 1 of 6 tickets to be a part of world history.
The parade?
World history. Yes, sir.
Well, I was, like I said, I was told ahead of time if they won 6 and 7, I'd get to be in the parade.
Yeah, so a slurring drunk afternoon, like,
yeah,
exclamation after he just had the excitement of winning a game. I mean,
not a lot of credit.
Pretty amazing that he went through that. Kudos to that motherfucker.
Right. And then I had to, it's been great. And then, but
now, what made you such a Cubs fan? Why you're never worked?
Not a Cubs fan, really.
You just happened to do comedy for these guys before.
Yeah, I grew up, my best friend basically is a coach.
Yep.
So I'm not, like, in my heart, I'm a Dodger Angel fan. I grew up here. I mean, if you ask me, in my heart, but players move around, you know?
Would you ever be a scout for a baseball team?
Like,
if the Angels or somebody asked you to be a scout?
That would be something that would interest me.
What do those guys make? Do you know?
Not a scout? Much.
Yeah.
Well, you know, these scouts don't make much money, but I'm sure today, like, there's high-end scouts, you know, who make decent money. So, I mean, you can make money, but that would be something I'd be into. Scout work, you know, I'm trying to do this, I think, like a positive energy coach. They have psychologists, they have the mental, here's the other thing.
I mean, your track record's pretty good.
All the mental skill guys, yes, this mental skills guys.
You can put
guys,
this World Series on your resume, really.
But no, you're right. I'm being honest. The guys who teach the mental skills in baseball, the visualization, there's not that many of them, and the brainchild of it started in Tempe, Arizona, and around Arizona State. Harvey Dorfman, Ken Revizzi.
Around the time that you were in school there.
You got it.
You're talking about being like a positive energy.
What
in
he's
the
talking
clubhouse,
about,
like a Tony Robbins Ventura,
is that he was like that when he was on the team.
Yeah.
And then These guys saw it, bit his shit, became professional life coaches for fucking these losers.
No, that's
and
it.
And then, now he's going, you know what, maybe I'll go back into my true nature's calling as Jesus has bestowed upon me this gift.
Sure.
And, boom,
no.
Brody Stevens.
Kind of a little.
Life coach for baseball players.
Here's, no, a little different.
Hear that, Tony Robbins. That's
so different.
I
pretty similar.
I learned about it.
Right.
But I couldn't do it. What I learned about is focusing. Our coach was
on mentally handicapped girls.
No, he.
Unreal.
Our coach, Coach Brock, he had a psychologist.
Is that his first or last name?
Jim Brock.
Okay.
Jim Brock. He, by the way, Arizona State, we have over 100 players in the major leagues.
Is it true you could have been a Sunkissed Kid wrestler also?
No. Not Sunkissed. The drink? The juice? The state?
The state.
It's the elite wrestling team out of ASU.
I know about ASU.
Never mind, Brody. Go ahead.
Continue. No, we had a great.
Please continue.
No,
it's all right.
I trained with all their wrestling guys. I was friends with them. Bobby Douglas.
It seems like you're very astute about it. Yeah.
But I never heard Sunkissed.
Yeah, okay.
I don't know. I went to Arizona State. I don't
remember.
It's okay.
I understand.
Did you?
So I'm just saying, like,
I heard it grew up in the valley, but
I learned about it there, and I was able to apply it. I saw it, and I'm not saying I'm always that way.
And then you blew your elbow out.
I did blow my elbow out.
And that's where it failed you.
Well, I don't know if it failed me. I may still throw.
You do.
I throw bullpens. I may pitch.
You should get Tommy Lee John surgery.
Yeah.
That's where they take a tendon out of your elbow, put it in your dick. Now your dick has an elbow.
Yeah. Yeah. Yeah.
All right. Well, are we good today?
We're good. I just, you know, I can't imagine riding through that town on the top of that fucking thing.
It's all right.
And who's all on the bus with you, in your bus? Was it all coaches and all
families?
You have players? Do you have players on yours is what I'm getting at.
A couple maybe. I don't know. One of the pitchers.
Right.
Mostly coaches. But my stuff doesn't work. I'm not going to go against my instincts.
What do you mean your stuff doesn't
work? I just
work?
Feel like I'm getting a little, I don't want to sound like, I think I'm going to end the show for me.
Why is this?
You're going to leave right now.
Yes.
Okay. Why is this?
Because I'm not having fun.
Why? Why is that?
I think I'm getting like kind of put down a little bit.
Not really? At all.
That's how I'm taking it. Tate, I understand. I get it. I'm not going to be negative, but I have to trust my instincts.
Of course.
Oh,
you know, I've done enough podcasts to know when I'm being kind of picked on.
Oh, I don't think we're picking on
I feel it. So here's the deal.
Not the least.
I'm leaving, and I'll talk
I was wondering when this would happen.
No, but it's like.
I know.
Are you a comedian at the Comedy Store?
No.
No, I am. So I know how to talk and do podcasts.
Okay.
And I know when I'm being picked on.
Oh, I
so
like
I'm
going to
leave,
you,
and you guys could talk about the Cubs.
Okay.
Brenton has my back. I guarantee you, if I ask Brenton if I'm getting picked on, and it's unfair, he's going to say yes.
Your voice is raised again.
All right. Well, I can go. I guarantee you. I don't want to put him on the spot. And then once Sam left, you started being not cool to me. But you were
really?
Never. Yes. You were never really cool to me.
Oh, I don't think that, bro.
I do.
I don't.
Have a great day.
Au revoir.
Ladies and gentlemen, Brody Stevens.
Ask Brenton. Brenton, was I treated unfairly?
You put me on the spot.
I did.
Yeah.
So he's going to say yes.
It was nice to see you.
All right. I mean, I don't think it was cool.
Well, Brody, I'm sorry you feel that way. I really don't think we were picking on you.
No, I was being picked not cool. And I'm in a good guy.
I think
you were not nice to me. That's why I blocked you on Twitter.
When was
nice to me.
Whoa. When was I not nice to you?
You were on Twitter. I remember what you said on Twitter. Oh, it's all about you. You're just copying what Joe Rogan said. You said to
What's
me.
What's that?
Because I was on Joe Rogan's podcast.
Okay.
And he said, oh, Brody, you'll make it about you. And then you did a tweet like that. And then I blocked you.
Okay.
And so I tried to be nice to you. I saw you at the Comedy Store. Tried to be nice. And I come here, I try to be nice. You were nice to me. You were not nice to me. And I've done a lot of shows. I'm a respected comedian. And you know what? You weren't cool to me. But I get it, because a lot of guys like you aren't cool to me at first.
What are guys like me?
Not cool.
What does that mean?
I mean, I would describe Tate as a fan of Brody.
It means that a guy who has respected the Comedy Store doesn't want to be here. And that says something. And that's a tough place to perform. And I'm there a lot. And you're not making me feel good. And I don't want to be around people who don't make me feel good. And that's what you did today.
Okay.
So have a great day.
All right.
Well, I'm sorry you feel that way, Brody. We all love you very much. And I know Tate's
And I think you're hilarious. A big fan.
I know when I'm getting picked on. I'm not dumb. You're picking on me. And I'm not going to have any problem with you because you'll probably kick my ass. But you were not cool. You weren't cool to me then. I tried to be nice to you in the parking lot. I even came in here and gave you a fist pound, and then you turned on me. You're not cool. And I guarantee you this podcast, you're going to get hate tweets.
Really?
Yeah, because you're not a nice guy.
Okay.
Have a nice day.
You're loud again.
Yeah, I'm loud. Because I'm not happy. It's not because you know what? You try to, it's whatever. Have a great day.
What'd I try to do?
Doesn't matter. See you at the Comedy Store.
I hope so.
Ladies and gentlemen, follow Brody Stevens on Twitter. It's our good friend Brody. Tate, what have you done?
I know.
I can dress you, but I can't take you anywhere.
Well, I don't even have a belt on.
That's, I tell you
Does
what.
Does that happen often or no?
On this show, this seems to happen a lot.
Interesting.
See, Aaron, this is what happens when we talk baseball. Oh, for 2 years, when are you going to talk baseball? Talk baseball one episode, and now here's what we don't want. We don't want Brody, because he could be a scrappy guy.
This is what
guy.
Happens when the Cubs win. I'm just.
We don't want Brody
there was no violence
to wind
when the
up
Cubs
being.
Won.
We don't want Brody to be pro Fighter and the Kid, because if that gives him one more person, because now we got
I feel
Mickey
like
Gall.
Have a lot of fans.
We got you, Rogan, Mickey Gall. Coming in after Sam gets just his face lit up like a Christmas tree. And I can't stress that enough. Just like a catcher's mitt, just taking fastballs.
He's going to be the one.
And then right before he's dead, his head's going to look like your head
and
looked
what
like
happens
on
with
Westworld. Well, that's where it gets interesting. Sam comes in, just his face gets pounded like a mold of clay, just like your head did on Westworld, which I want to get into that because we saw your cock on HBO, which made me thirsty. But, and then you, Mickey Gall, Rogan come in. Like a tornado of fists and teeth. You're fucking up the whole room. Then Ari and I come in and we go, that's right.
Do you guys kick or anything like
that?
Nah,
dude. Just
light a cigarette maybe and just.
We're not trying to throw salt on wounds. We just want, they're just taking all of our caveman coffee money.
Is that
People
right?
People are using their promo code, not ours. And we're, you know, these guys show up in three Porsches. There's only two of them. They're towing another
Is
Porsche.
That what he's driving now? What's Brendan driving?
I think he's got a Bentley maybe. I don't know.
Something like that, right?
But there's
some
he's
kind
got a
of
Bentley
really
towing a Porsche.
Sedan.
He's got a Bentley towing a Porsche, towing a fucking jet ski. And
it's amazing.
I slept here last night.
I love that a podcast could do money like that.
Well, I would love that too, and that's why we're going to take it out.
Well, that's where you
pricks.
Got that jacket.
Sort of. Indirectly, I guess.
See?
And then, but I'm just a little concerned that Brody now is going to be pro Fighter and the Kid.
He's going to be anti Tate, whatever that is.
That seemed like it came out of nowhere. Now, I'll listen to it.
It seems like maybe it boiled.
Honestly speaking, do you think he was being picked on, or do you think we're just trying to juggle jokes out of the story?
Honestly, and I was half listening.
He was half listening, yeah.
I think maybe you were teasing him a little bit.
Okay.
A little too sensitive, but it wasn't anything that was super malicious.
Okay, so in case you couldn't hear him, Brent thinks
there's
no malice involved.
I can never wonder. I always wonder where I don't even still know right now if he's actually upset or if that's part of his shtick.
I feel like it's a little bit of both.
Because he's got like a persona that he puts on.
I think it's a little bit of that, but I also feel like he was kind of like, I did a podcast earlier. I don't want to do another 2-hour podcast. So I think he wanted out.
Right.
I think he wanted out. And, you know, I had so many questions that I wanted to hear about being in the parade. You know, we spent a lot of time talking about positive energy and how that changes the universe and help the Cubs win, and I'm fine with that. But, you know, I kept trying to drive it back to let's get back to the bus, to that sort of thing. And, you know, I kind of feel like he didn't want to talk about that. I feel like he wanted to talk about...
I don't know what he wanted to talk about,
Arizona
though.
State, no. And that's all fine and dandy, but
right.
I think he
Which was what
with,
my tweet came about. It was all innocent. Like, I didn't
listen to him.
I didn't listen to him on Brogan's podcast. I don't know what he's referencing. It
I think he
like,
came in with a boner for you. I think he saw you wrong. He's like, oh, this guy has a negative energy towards me, which I, honest speaking, I'm not even blowing smoke up Brody's ass.
That's weird.
If I'm setting somebody up or something like that, I will admit to it. But I know for a fact that you are a fan of Brody Stevens.
Big time.
Several times we have talked where, you know, you would be like, hey, is Brody there? Is, you know, he's on your list of people you want to see.
Right.
When Brody's on stage, I know for a fact.
Yeah.
When we're hanging out at the store, you're like, oh, I want to go watch Brody.
Yeah.
So I think he has a little bit of that wrong.
Well, a lot of it wrong.
I know you are not somebody
But there
that
was a
like
tweet.
Him, which was what?
Which said something about, like, well, maybe if you thought of others more than yourself or something like that, because there was a lot of like this. There was a bunch of tweets in a row from him that were about like how he wasn't getting his or something, whatever, whatever. And then I guess he blocked me after that. But this is all that goes back maybe I think 2 years maybe.
That you said that?
Yeah. And then I've had no interaction with him, and I always just kind of try to wave to him. But then I try to stay away from him because Brian said that there was a, you know, whatever, that he was very sensitive to the point where he went to the hospital for a little bit at one point.
Yeah, you remember. I mean, that was all in his HBO show, and you would always ask me, how's Brody doing?
Yeah. And so I've been, like, careful, I guess, about that. But I never experienced that. It's amazing.
Can we get...
Oh, it's because I said the thing about Thailand, about Tony Hinchcliffe. Maybe that was it.
Nah, he was laughing about that.
I don't know.
He was laughing about that. I mean,
my apologies for whatever.
Well, you know, it's all fine and dandy. I mean, it's...
Yeah.
Textbook.
That's one of the problems, too, in that world, I think, is that, like, you think that everybody knows everything that you've done. Like, I only know who you're presenting to me today. Like, I don't know all, like, there's, I don't come here with a backstory about, like, how you're going
to
be.
Yeah, if I had time to get everybody's, don't assume I know everything that's going on.
Don't assume I listen to all those podcasts.
Don't assume I read your Twitter all the time. Like, people would come up to me like, dude, you see my tweet yesterday? Right, like, no.
Right.
I don't, I you know, unless you added me in it, I don't have to.
Yeah.
I can't sit in a room and look at, you know. I'm not that guy.
And I think they're relevant for like 12 minutes, right? And then they're gone.
Or whatever. Now, can we get into UFC 205? Did you watch it?
Yeah, I only saw the last two fights.
Where'd you watch it at?
I watched it over at my buddy Sal's house.
Okay.
And I'd just gotten back in from Fiji that day. We went and grabbed dinner. And then we went and saw the last two fights. And I only saw the last two rounds of the Woodley fight.
Yeah.
And I was confused by that. Maybe you can shed some light on that. But
as to what?
With that being a tie or a win.
Well, here's what I think happened. I don't know. I'm sure everyone's going to
find it. They said 47-47, 47-47, and then 49-47 or something like that.
You saw, Buffer, Bruce Buffer.
Right.
Kind of in a hissy fit a little bit, which he seems to me like the kind of guy that may have some of that in him. So he walks to the scores tables and looks like he's kind of confirming something. And then kind of like nods like, I know what it is. I got it. He comes into the ring. Now what it is, here's the problem that I think. This is all my theory, so don't everybody start jumping down my throat on Twitter. Here's what I theorize is that and working in research with my football job, this is the kind of shit that I have to clarify. Like, I'm about to say this on air. What's the right way to say this?
Sure.
So-and-so forced fumble, recovered by this guy, strip sack goes to this guy. You know, all the minutiae details of all that. He had a card that was one person had it, Woodley, two people had it as a draw.
Right.
How do you announce that? Because tech – and what he came out and read, draw.
Win.
And read it as a minority decision, which is something that doesn't exist.
Right.
A minority decision. So there was a lot of confusion when he read it the first time, was, and then Dana comes into the ring. So while they're interviewing Woodley, Rogan's interviewing Woodley, Dana comes back to Bruce Buffer and says something to him, in which in point in time, Bruce Buffer interrupts this thing to re-announce it correctly. This is a majority draw. Not a minority decision, which isn't a thing.
Right.
A majority decision isn't anything. And where people go, well, what's the discrepancy in that? That doesn't make any – what makes a difference? Where it makes a difference is if you're Wonder Boy, you're now 19-2 versus 19-1-1.
Sure.
So when he announces that this is a minority loss, you know, he's like, well, now I got a loss on my record. That's worse than having essentially a tie.
Sure.
When what it was a majority draw.
Yeah, okay. I'd never seen it ever before. That was the first time I'd ever seen it, but the way you explain it, that totally makes sense.
Yeah, so that's what I theorize happened because you saw him go there, clarify it, come up, read it wrong, and then have to clean it back up to when he said it. And Woodley had this look like, wait a minute, like they just recounted the votes in Florida, and now Trump's not president.
Exactly.
He literally grabs his belt and looks at him like, what the fuck's happening? Like, they were about to start scrapping again.
Right.
And Rogan kind of explained to him that, you're still a champ. You got your belt. It's a draw, not a win.
Wow. And so instant rematch.
I would think.
Yeah.
I would think.
I think I'd heard that's on.
I would think. There's going to be a lot of hoopla about McGregor wanting to come up and get strapped three times, but
that's crazy talk. Those boys are too big.
Well, I know, but he's going to say that just to fucking create drama. He's hilarious. Here's what I think, and everyone's well, what's going to happen now that he's got two belts? How's this going to unfold? Here's how I think it unfolds. Tell me what you think about this. He doesn't have a lot of time in his metabolism to
McGregor,
constantly be cutting a 45, constantly fighting at 170. So I think here's what he does. You go down to 145, you defend that belt.
Right.
If you win, you get more time, you go up to 155, defend that one or whatever the fuck. But if you lose to Aldo, let's say, and you lose that belt, Conor McGregor has a golden excuse to go, I didn't want this belt anyway, it's trash, and blame it on the cut.
I don't think he will cut to 45.
You think he's just going to throw that belt in the trash?
Yeah, I think it's a done deal. How many fights? What's he had? Four fights since
Aldo.
He last fought at 45.
He's got two against Diaz. He's got this fight. And who else did he fight?
Maybe that's it.
There might be one more in there, but nonetheless, yeah.
I mean,
yeah, but he hasn't fought at 45.
And he hasn't fought since the and that's been also.
And two of them were at 170 catchweights
since the bags, right? Since you could do a rehydration bag,
right?
And so he hasn't done anything since the IV. So I wonder, can he or is he even interested in cutting that much? And especially when I look at how much bigger he was than Eddie.
That's what I mean.
Which was a trip because I can't even imagine, like, at 145, like, if he has any energy or strength, he is whipping those boys around. Because he threw Eddie around crazy. I was shocked. I was shocked at the way that fight went. And he didn't miss.
I was shocked, too.
I mean, he's exceptional. You know,
it's too early for this greatest of all time. It's too early for this GOAT talk. It's too early for anything like that. But I will say this. You know, barring anything crazy, this guy has the potential, and in a lot of ways already has, to change this sport.
Already has.
And put it on the map in a gigantic scale. And I'm talking about in a 10, 12-year career, if this guy doesn't say, fuck it, and go off and make millions of dollars or something else. If he sticks to this
right
art form and really does this for a decade or two, or 12 years.
How many fights do you think he'll really do it that long? I think no.
Dude, if they're all fucking if they're all 90 seconds to 5 minutes long, he can really. What damage has he really been taking? If he can keep this up and pick his fights. My biggest fear
Everybody
with
said
him,
that about Mike Tyson. You know what I mean?
I think Mike Tyson's, a lot of his problems were more of the emotional nature than the lack of talent,
but
skill,
who knows
lack
what's
of
going
guidance.
On.
I think once Customato died, we saw more of a, for lack of a better term, Tupac version of him versus a David Robinson version of him.
But look at how fast things change in the mixed martial arts world.
Of course.
And in, like, Hoist Gracie's not relevant anymore. Right, that you can't have a Tito Ortiz isn't relevant anymore as a athlete right now. He wouldn't be a top 10 guy.
Well,
or anything like that,
say,
right?
I
so
mean,
you're looking at old champions in a couple of years. John Jones will be an average MMA guy in the UFC.
We're already seeing that in the women's division,
and for sure we're already seeing it. I mean, even in the last fight that John had against Sam, that wasn't the showing that we'd seen before. Lyoto Machida was a ghost story. Mm. Now he's not even a top 10. You know,
sure.
Like we see that about Anderson Silva. And so, like,
you're talking about the evolution
of the sport.
The
thing is, as the sport evolves and as those fighters that are the greatest, that we've never seen anything like that before, get older, that starts to go away. And so I think Conor, the big impact that he makes is. Really, I think with what he does for the fighters, for the pay grade, and for the way that he's selling fights and the way that he is showing people what the athlete structure could be.
Right.
Hi. Welcome back, Sam Tripoli.
What happened?
Brody got mad and left.
I saw that happening.
Did you talk to him outside?
What do you mean
no,
you saw it happening?
I was in my car doing
it. You saw it happening?
Yeah, I mean, Brody, I've had Brody on my podcast before, and we've had, like, we banged back and
forth.
Oh,
you guys really, I think the last time he was here, you and him got into it way more than you two just did. But he just left. But also, mind you, he did a podcast earlier. You know, we lost him about right, I think before he, Sam went out.
I know when we lost him, when you were like, so this guy's sucking his dick.
Who's sucking his dick?
When you started talking about sucking dicks, he thought we weren't being serious.
No, I told him that was 100% true story.
I agree with it. I totally agree with
that. That really was 100% true story.
Okay, well, you know,
so then when he said it was a bit, it was, oh, I got it.
We'll get it back. We'll get, watch out. Pollyanna's behind you.
Oh, trust me. This is going to be a very popular episode. So I believe that we see that exact same thing that you're talking about, which, you know, for the men's division, for the sport in general, we've seen this evolution. And all these people that were the greatest that really made this sport great and really crafted what this sport is out of, you know.
Right.
Now we're seeing all these kids that are, they've been training in MMA
right.
since they were
9, 10, 11, 12,
you know, and people that are paying for that are people like Misha Tate's face.
Sure.
Who's like, yeah, exactly like you're saying, 5 years ago, she was a household name to people like us who know the sport. Like, right. Misha Tate's one of the top four fighters. Now, she cannot bang with these 23-year-olds that are coming up, and she knows she doesn't want none of that.
I think we're moving from the Tybo phase to legit women's MMA, where it's like right. before it was, who's available? Who wants to fight? Oh, I'll fight. And you're yes. like, okay, I'll throw
it. I've been at fights before, bro, like in like little regional shows, where the promoter will go, oh, so-and-so dropped out. What is he, 125? Okay, and he goes to the bowling alley next door and goes, any of you guys scrappy? You look like a tough guy. And he talks him up and talks a guy into a fight that day. Like, and so I think that's like the women's division has to go through all those growing pains kind of as well.
What Ronda Rousey ruled over the women's MMA in the Hoist Gracie era, where you remember Hoist was like taking on all these like, hey, I'm a trucker,
right?
And I could take a punch, choke out, snap, and then it became like that. You remember when Matt Hughes was like, I'm gonna show him like we've evolved. Well, that Matt Hughes was a great wrestler,
right?
Now you're like getting to the point where it's like, you know, Anderson Silva was the next kind of thing, which is this insane striker with a black belt in jiu-jitsu. Now it's like you are. Amazing at everything, world class at something. You got to have that one thing that there's no, you can't have holes
and
in your
amazing
game.
Endurance and all that. And it brings me to the next thing is that we still have fighters like Kelvin Gastelum just didn't even get on the scale. He'd so not even tried to make weight that he didn't even approach a scale. Because he was never there. He wasn't even within 10 pounds probably is what that means. And then it cost Cowboy a fight with him. And so now at the other end of it, maybe if you're only talking about, you know, I mean, you're talking about a payday regardless, but Cowboy's payday has just got huge. And so now you've cost him money.
Yes.
And if he's promised like pay-per-view points for that fight.
Cost a lot of money.
Now you cost him a million plus or something.
Hold on,
like that.
But he still has to get that fucking, that pay-per-view money. I mean, he showed.
I mean, I don't know what happens. I got to call him and find out.
I would really doubt because if they're like, dude, you got no fight. Dude, throw anybody. If I'm looking at $1 million, Tate, if they're like, I'm supposed to fight Tebow doesn't make weight.
That'll right. never happen.
Right, but let's say, and they're
you'd
like.
You'd be the one not cutting a 130.
Okay, let's say that. Okay, let's flip it.
Let's say I can't lose 100 pounds
I don't make weight, right? You want to fight, and you know there's $1 million in like. You'd be like, throw fucking Tate. I'll fight anybody right now.
I would
now.
Be helping you make weight.
Right?
I'd be running next to you like in Mike Tyson's Punch-Out. There's that little gym guy that runs with you in between levels with the towel around his neck. That's
just
me, bro.
Fucking knocking food out of my mouth.
Oh, yeah.
So maybe I don't know. I just think that would be such a fuck over.
Be a bummer, right?
To fucking take.
But as the sport evolves, like, I think he hasn't made weight a few different times.
Yeah.
And not to single anybody out, but like if that used to happen a lot more prevalently, now it's almost got to happen not at all anymore if you want to be taken seriously as a sport. I mean, does that happen in boxing?
You should be fined if you don't make a certain weight by this time out, meaning you have to be within this weight to make that, and if you don't, you get fined that. I mean, like, start hitting them early.
If you want it to be safer, that would be smart.
Yeah.
I mean, if they want, they took IV bags away because they say that's unsafe because you're putting on weight, like, artificially or whatever.
30 pounds in 10 hours?
Right. And so like, if you did start doing the structure like that and say, well, it would just, guys would have to stay in better shape. You would have to be closer to your real weight.
Make for better fights, too. What happened in comedy, what happened
really?
In NFL is that
the business people have come in, meaning the outlaw days are over. The Chuck Liddell
right,
two days before a fight. And, you know, when Dana White walks in at the station casino and he sees fucking Chuck on Molly with a bunch of chicks. Like, those days are done. Like, in comedy, like, the Doug Stanhopes, those days are done.
Sam Kinison.
Those are like, done, dude. Yeah. The days of doing blow and fucking... Like, you're up against, like, machines like fucking Chris D'Elia, Whitney Cummings, and those are great. I have nothing. Those are business people, and they're great at what they do. Yeah. They're not drinking. They're not doing drugs.
It's funny that everybody in America's moniker for what is great is the 1980s. You know what I mean? Oh, man, that's when America was great.
Well,
oh,
it's like
Reaganomics
could be sloppy.
Athletes could fucking rape people and not get in trouble. And you know, because there was no social media. The problem is this tattletale generation, you can't, there's nothing you can do. If you're accused of something and there's enough money involved for whatever crime you're accused of, they can follow your phone from tower cell tings, wherever you bought gas, wherever you use a credit card, and they can find cameras. Watch First 48. They track you down your hour and a half of where you say you were. They can fucking tell if you're lying or not.
Do you know the FBI? They have like, if you give them like, 5 bits of information about your life, they can tell you exactly what your life was like. That's how they have it down now. They know. Like,
you know where I learned this stuff? It was like on House of Cards. That happened in an episode I was watching last night. It's like there's another TV show, too, that's out right now where they do all this triangulation. There's fucking cameras everywhere.
I mean,
yeah, crazy.
Just stop. Whenever you're somewhere in a city or whatever, your town or whatever, just stop and think about this. And maybe if you're listening to this podcast right now and you're walking down the street, stop and do a 360 and look around, and I guarantee you, you'll see a camera.
No,
whether it's on a street light, whether it's inside the 7-Eleven, whether it's wherever,
by the ATM,
you are being recorded right now somewhere.
Can we get into, I don't know if you guys already discussed it, but
Tower 7.
Weidman versus...
I was just going to say, is he done?
Weidman's done. I think Weidman... Weidman basically went in for
took a flying knee that was
went in for a double leg, and Romero just timed it right.
It's
flying
a super
knee.
Athlete. Romero is.
Romero looks like when you
this is how good he's in. He's in gay porn shape. Anybody with me on that one? Like, he's super fucking
dude,
shredded.
Something else.
Romero looks like when you had an action figure of the Incredible Hulk, and you took his clothes off, and he was just this naked green
and that's
plastic
with,
thing. That's what he looks
with
like
with drug testing.
Yeah, he's just
crazy.
That next. Yeah. He's the number one guy I would not want to walk in and see plowing my chick.
100% because
or
you know
used to be
he's
overrated.
So religious. He's like he's got to marry her. He's now marrying your girlfriend because
ain't nothing you can do about that.
He's a religious guy.
Oh, super.
Oh, yeah,
dude.
He's the guy that was like America, not the gay Jesus.
Yeah,
remember that fight in Florida and he went off about gay
then
Jesus.
Then he was doing some weird. I know he's trying to march like he was in the army because he's the soldier of God. That's his
and
name.
Then saluting.
But it was very goose steppy.
Yeah, really
it was
did.
Very goose steppy.
To be fair, they did march the best.
Okay, I will give you that. Their choreography
very distinctive
was next.
Marching.
I really? Put North
Chinese.
Korea. I put North
and
Korea
their outfits.
There.
Chinese though, back in that like fucking Tiananmen Square march,
yeah.
where they
like,
had that swing of the arm, and there's like 10,000 of them. It's pretty.
For great choreography, you either gotta be flaming gay or just no rights. Whatever, the government runs everything.
Yeah.
Those are the two ways that you have great choreography.
I'll take a Bill Murray in stripes. I'll take Bill Murray in stripes.
But he just destroyed. Now, dude, if you're Michael Bisping, do you want to fight? I mean, like Romero. Do you?
No, if I'm Bisping, I'm on the phone with fucking Conor McGregor.
Well, everybody wants to fight him. Like, what?
That's a fight he actually
Khabib?
Could probably win.
Khabib.
He looked great,
dude. I mean, they're gonna do
that. Guy looks incredible.
The UFC is in a bad place.
It's bad though because he gets hurt so much. Like all those guys that are chronically injured, it's like, man, you can't hinge a big fight on him.
I actually
it could fall apart at any fucking moment.
I actually walked away more impressed with Khabib than I did Conor. Conor's second though, but such a dominant performance from this guy. Where you're like, what do you do with him? And title
when,
shot.
When was his last fight? Like over a year ago, right?
Too weird. I thought it was almost 2 years ago.
Might be. I remember he was supposed to fight Donald, then he got hurt, then he was supposed to fight somebody else, then he got hurt.
He'd be a dangerous guy to have the strap because it's like giving a belt to Tony Romo.
But you watch him, dude,
really?
He's so big for that weight class, too. Like, he's so big for 155.
Yeah.
I don't know, he's got like fucking fish bones, like they have no weight because you're like, how is this dude? And you watch him. And I was watching this. He just stalks people like a bear. And I was watching this UFC. I've gotten into YouTube. I was in China. I was bored. I couldn't watch TV, so I started going down the rabbit hole on YouTube. So now I'm really into like. And they brought this thing that Conor is all about distance.
Right.
Conor's great at manipulating distance, whereas Khabib is all about closing distance.
Sure.
So
which is all about distance too. Yeah.
Which
yeah. Yeah.
It's mm-hmm. like it's so.
You know who that's like. Holly Holm, Ronda Rousey.
Mm-hmm.
It's the same fight.
That
with
is the
males,
same fight. That's a great
really,
point.
You know?
Well,
that's a great
yeah,
point.
Because Holly Holm was the first
except
person not
Khabib,
to charge in.
He can fucking hit outside single. He can hit a double leg. You
but
know
they
mean?
Were talking about, I was watching Rogan and Chob talk about it. Dude, he got hit. Michael Johnson hit him and he got his bell rung.
Yep.
Now, if there's anybody who's going to do that, it's going to be Conor. Conor. I don't give a fuck what anybody says about him. Conor is talent meets preparation. I mean, this guy.
He's great, man.
He does not fuck around, man. And that is a.
Talk about a professional.
And that is a dangerous combination. When you look. I mean, I call it like Dane Cook 2002.
I got to say, Alan Jouban, like, he went to save that fight. He was like, I'll pull a cowboy right now and I'll step in to fight a legend or whatever. And I thought. Man, that's cool. It's cool.
I took
I love
myself
the way
out there.
All these guys come together nice. In that way. Now, we were talking earlier about, I think it was before you came in, about Conor defending his strap at 145. Do you even think it's possible he makes that weight without IV bags and all that kind of stuff
I'm
anymore?
I think he could, but I don't know why he should.
His window is closing fast for 145. So if he's ever going to defend that belt, I think he defends at 145 against Aldo. Right? Wins it, he's done. Loses it, he's done and has an excuse. I don't want that belt anyway. Fuck cutting that weight. I'm moving up.
Great
I don't want to be a midget.
His impression game is on next
it's getting
level.
Better and better.
You know what I mean? So he has a built-in excuse if he loses to Aldo. I can't make that cut anymore. I don't want these midget belts.
Right.
Then he defends 155. Then he starts moving up.
Well, they're going to do Nate Diaz next, which is brilliant. But I think Conor's in trouble. I'm going to say something.
Sure.
I'm going to say something that is right in my conspiracy theories again. I really think that Nate Diaz knew it was in everybody's best interest, including himself and Stockton, that Conor McGregor wins that fight.
Of course.
And like, there's time where you're like, I felt like he was propping Conor against the fence. Hold up, dude. We got
a
couple more rounds to go.
Everybody that's in the top five or top 10 lists of, and that includes three different weight classes now.
And three weight classes.
Of who's next to fight him when he's fighting is like, come on, McGregor.
Yeah.
Everybody
but
that's in that
what
list.
I'm saying is
you feel like
especially
third fight,
the Diaz.
Nate Diaz, there's no reason for him to have to protect Conor on this one. It does not do him any interest to have Conor win that fight because there's not going to be a fourth one unless it's a bloodbath.
But they wanted a third fight from the second fight for sure before that ever occurred.
But he needed the third. He needed
but then
to
I wondered,
lose.
I thought that too, and I thought, well, they're going to position the judges. All you got to do is buy one judge because you can't count on an athlete. Right? Because if he gets stung and his ego and everything else, he might be like, you know what? They offered me $5 million, but fuck it. I'm going to beat him down anyway.
But
do you think there's fixed fights in the UFC?
Ugh, God, I
think we're entering that world.
I can't get
there's
it
so much money now, man.
Yep. Where money talks, bullshit walks.
But we'll hear about it because these guys are like a lot of those guys party and talk.
I don't think they would go out. Maybe they will. I don't think it will ever get to boxing because it's so structured and so corporate right now. I don't think it will be allowed to do that.
Where there's money, there's corruption. We know that.
But I think it's going to be like this election where. Did you notice they didn't call Florida until absolutely all the other dominoes fell? They were holding on to Florida, calling it too close to call when he was up like 150,000 votes and 99% of the votes were in. They're like, too close to call. They're waiting to see what happens in Michigan, Ohio, and Pennsylvania. Once those went, they're like, it's no point in holding on. So my point is, they may rig it, but it has to be really close. If it's a close fight and they could call it.
Don't you think it's owning judges too? Like, that's who you would own.
It's everything that we've seen in boxing. It's, now this has a lot of money involved. Now here comes the mafia. Now here comes crooked people. Now here comes people willing to take falls. Now here comes, you know.
Wouldn't he love to know all Dana White's private phone calls? Like, I bet he gets some crazy fucking offers.
I'm sure he does.
Well, you know, whoa, you hear Khabib was like, if I don't get the title fight next, UFC isn't going to Russia. And you're like, what, dude? If I was the fucking UFC, I'd cut you right there. I go, don't fuck with us. We'll wait 2 years. They'll blow by.
Dana was avoiding Russia, too, because of Putin a while ago.
Well, remember they canceled the Philippines because the Philippines are like, fuck you, America.
Yeah, they're like, we're going nuclear.
No, they wanted to drug test everybody. Joe Rogan, Mike Goldberg, fucking Dana White.
Well, then you don't get our money, idiots.
That's what happened, dude.
Well, then you don't get our money, idiots. Go back to picking bananas and plantains, you dipshits.
I love.
We were
going to
put a Starbucks in your fucking shithole caves. Fuck the Philippines.
I don't think they live
in caves.
Can I make
a quick announcement that has been brewing for a long time?
Please.
I just want to put this out there in the realm of bag of bets. The Cubs winning the World Series not only won me one bag of bets, it has won me three. And I would like to announce and call out the other losers. Next week, Ari, you fucking dipshit. Not only are Sam and I, because I listened to it. I listened to it. It says both the other two hosts get to fire snap pops at his bare chest.
Oh, is that why he's not here?
I'm crunching the numbers. Crunching the numbers.
Crunched.
Ari was supposed to pay off his bag of bets today with snap pops. So here's what happens. Next week, he is going to be here, and Sam and I get to shoot snap pops at him with slingshots.
Whoa, with slingshots?
Yep.
I was like, snap pops don't sound bad, but you just upped the ante.
Yeah. I upped the ante. So he's going to stand right here with snap popping him with slingshots. So I'll have two slingshots and a box of snap pops for us.
Oh. Like a wrist rocket or like a...
Yeah. Whatever I can, you know, I'm just going to go to Hollywood
dude.
Props and fucking whatever
so
I can.
So good.
So next week...
So good.
Hang on, because there's two more. Next week, and Jay Oakeson is the next one.
How many
coming.
Has he got to take? How many has already got to take?
Entire box.
Okay.
So I'm, you know, 20, 30, but... Believe me, we're going to be putting five and six in there at a time.
Oh, yeah.
Is he in his underwear or anything like that?
I'm sure he's going to make it special.
No, he'll fucking go naked.
He gets that dick out. I'm snap popping that cock.
Oh, yeah. Dude, snap popping.
Right at his fucking one ball.
Jesus.
We should send one right into his fucking shit cannon.
Do you know what else there's bets on?
Tell me.
Well, hang on. Let me get these out and because we only have 2 minutes left. And I want to make sure everyone knows this is the week to start paying these off. Because I picked the Cubs. And if I lost all three bets, which I always do... Believe me, it'd be raining tweets, pay your fucking bet off. So, Ari, you're getting it next week. Big Jay Oakerson, guess who has to put an ad in Backpage for 1 week with his real phone number?
Oh, shit.
And he said he's happy to do it. Jay Oakerson, it is time, and you have to send it to us for approval. The picture and your ad of what you want.
That's great.
That's really good. I like that.
Gay ad, 1 week. Big J's real picture, Big J's real phone number, and he said he'd be happy to do it if the Cubs won the World Series.
Let me say something. Why are all of our bets homoerotic?
They're
and
homo-comedic.
I have no problem with gay people.
Homo-comedic.
It's homo-comedic.
Snap Pops isn't gay.
Oh, that's true.
But yeah, there are a lot of them that are in there. Because
I have no problem with gay people, but
our fans are homo-comedic.
It's either pain,
and
gross,
here's the third
or
one.
Gay.
Here's the third one for the fan that wanted a shot at this. Chris from Connecticut. A.K.A. Victor versus Victim. At Victor versus Victim.
He paid it off, though, right?
No, he didn't.
He did a picture of him.
That wasn't the bet, so he just put that up for fun. Because I listened to it. I listened to it. I am sending him three black cock bombs that he just has to cut and paste and make no reference of it.
I respect that.
So three times this week, I'm going to be just sending Victor versus Victim. I'll add Punch Drunk in it. We can't hashtag bag of bets. We decided that on the show because that'll give it away.
Right.
That he's just going to talk about how thirsty he is for a nice purple anaconda draped down his throat from an NBA player. So I will be sending him three very creative tweets that he will be tweeting. Jay Oakerson, it's time for you to start putting this ad together.
I got a good one. He should tweet fucking NBA players. That he wants to suck their black cock.
I'll at them.
Hey, Joel Embiid, I want to suck that big, veiny black cock you got.
Yeah.
Hashtag trust the process.
Yeah. That is good. So I will be doing that.
Okay, cool.
So those three fans, pay that off this week. We'll talk about it next week. We'll zing Ari next week for that. One more thing I wanted to plug that we totally forgot to do is, guys, the T-shirt site's up and running. here's what it is. Allcomedyteshirts.com, not T-E-E, just the letter T. Comedy.
Fuck, we forgot to push that.
I'm doing it right now. That's what's so good about this. Allcomedyteshirts.com. You can get all of your Punch Drunk shirts. I believe there's four of them up there now. We're getting a one for Ari, for a Jew Clam. We're getting a Red State Teeb shirt. So we'll have a shirt for all three of us. And then we have three or four other shirts that are on there you can buy. This week we're putting together promo packages. If you buy all three host shirts, you get a discount. If you buy all three logo shirts, you get a discount. So we're doing things like that. But go there. You guys have been bitching at us for a year and a half to have merch. It's finally up. It's finally running. People are ordering them, and I appreciate that. So now you can get your Punch Drunk
Aaron.
Shirts.
Is there any dates, I think we should do a 1 hour, if you're available, Patreon episode, only available on Patreon, that we just do 1 hour.
Sure.
During the week, we take people's calls. You can only get it if you subscribe to and donate to Patreon. Yeah. We should start doing that next week.
We should do it while Ari's in town.
Yeah. Ari won't do it, but you and I, we'll take phone calls, and it's only available on Patreon. Go to Patreon, Punch Drunk Sports Patreon. $5, you get to listen to the new. People want us to do a second episode.
For the Patreon thing?
Yeah.
Yeah, I'd love to.
All right, so that's good. Real quick, Aaron, was that the most baseball we've ever talked? Were you giddy? Good. And did it end the way you thought it would end?
Yeah, I told him. I said it. This is what happens when we talk baseball. This is what you wanted.
Yeah. The Cubs win, Brody loses. That's how it went down.
Unbelievable.
You got any dates at the gates you want to plug? You got your Vegas thing coming up? What you got?
Did we do dates?
No, we didn't.
Fuck!
Well, you got time to do it now.
I'm at Edmonton, the comic strip. Fuck, why didn't we say that?
You're just literally saying it right now.
I'm at the comic strip in Edmonton this week. I can't wait to see everybody. It's my favorite club to play. Please come out. Rock out with your cock out. And then at the first week in December, I'm at the Comedy Bar in Chicago.
You're going to have fun there, man. What about you? What do you got? You got Westworld? I hope you come back on Westworld.
Yeah, currently in Westworld in The Accountant right
Go
now.
See that.
Bloodfather. Jean-Claude Van Damme thing on Amazon.
Oh, that's so great.
Oh, and then on Netflix just came out yesterday or the day before, a Kevin James movie called True Memoirs.
I saw you in the ad, motherfucker. Yeah, yeah. I love it.
Yeah.
Nice.
All that's out now.
I'm so happy for
awesome,
you.
Awesome, man. Cool. I just want to say a special thanks to everybody that came to see me in Fort Wayne record my first album. All those guys at Let's Comedy are so incredibly nice. I appreciate everyone's hard work. All the Punch Drunk fans that showed up in Punch Drunk shirts. The guys that drove all the way from Iowa and then slept in the parking lot because you were too drunk to drive 8 hours the next day. The people that drove all the way from Detroit. I mean,
it's awesome.
I really appreciate everybody coming out. It was a great. It'll be out probably about 4 weeks. I'm editing it right now. It sounds great. I really appreciate all of that. And then finally, last couple things. I'll be at the Endorphanage in Sydney, Michigan. Apparently, that's a bunch of orphans that are roided up. I'm very scared for that show. I'll be at Mount Baldy, Pennsylvania at Bitches Get Stitches. We'll be sewing holes in pants for the homeless people while they wear them. And I will be at Just Dipping Sauces doing a 10-minute spot. Apparently, a lot of people hate that place because all they have are dipping sauces and nothing to dip it in. So if you come to Just Dipping Sauces, bring things to dip.
Bring your own dipper.
All they have are the sauces. But the prices are just right. Tate, thank you so much for being here.
Thank you.
Thanks for coming. How long are you in town? Let's hang while you're here.
I'm here forever.
What does that mean? You said that you texted me that. And
until
that's
the
not
phone
true.
Rings or something. I don't know.
Okay.
Like, what do I know?
Well, all right. Well, then let's hang this week.
And I'd love that.
All right,
let's
cool.
go get dinner or something.
I love That's you guys.
Love you
great.
Too.
Brody, we love, you.
Love you, Brody
we
Stevens.
Love you, Brody.
All things comedy with Brody Stevens.
All things comedy. We're working on hopefully still. All right, big news coming. Punch Drunk Sports. Go to the website, punchdrunksport.com. We need writers. Bye.